The American Foundation for the Blind is proud to support ACB Radio. Visit AFB Career Connect at afb.org to find employment planning tools for people who are blind or visually impaired.
The Seeing Eye proudly sponsors ACB Radio. For 75 years, the Seeing Eye has enhanced the independence and dignity of people who are blind or visually impaired through the use of Seeing Eye dogs. Visit our website, www.seeingeye.org.
Programming on ACB Radio is made possible in part through financial support from the Verizon Corporation. Verizon, a proud supporter of ACB Radio.
Throughout the month of July, ACB Radio and HumanWare are empowering the blind community by teaming up to give you the chance to win the all-new VoiceNote Empower, the very latest note taker in the BrailleNote family of products. Each week this month, you'll be asked a specific question about the Empower. Email your answers to empower@acbradio.org. That's the letter M, power@acbradio.org. At the end of the month, all those who have submitted 4 correct entries will go into a drawing and become eligible to win the Empower. ACB general contest rules apply and can be found at acbradio.org.
And here's this week's question. Which of the following is a new feature in the Empower? Is it A, USB connectivity, B, support for either a Braille or QWERTY keyboard, or C, support for email?
HumanWare and ACB Radio, empowering the blind community.
Hello and a very good evening from the Riviera in Las Vegas. I'm Dave Williams and you're tuned to ACB Radio Mainstream. It's Thursday evening, which means it's time for our Candidates Forum. This is the opportunity for delegates to learn more about those seeking office within ACB. And of course we'll be talking about that much more this evening. As always, our two co-hosts, Rick Lewis and Debbie Cook, are with us this evening. Hi guys, how you doing?
Hey, we're doing great.
Excellent.
Good evening.
Excellent. Okay, and we should also remind people that following our broadcast of the Candidates Forum, it's unclear how long this will last, but following our broadcast of the Candidates Forum, you will be able to hear a complete replay of today's convention coverage of the business session this morning, which started at 8:30 Pacific time. Now, the program has the session this evening running from 7 p.m. until 8:30. However, we suspect it may run slightly beyond that, so prepare to be around for the next 3 and a half hours. We reckon sometime between 9 and 10 o'clock it'll likely finish, but it may get done earlier on. We shall see. So, Debbie, I understand you've been looking at the candidates, and we will come to those in a moment here. Don't forget, of course, folks, there is an opportunity for you to win courtesy of the ACB store, and the prize up for grabs is the Ray DVD, of course the biopic of Ray Charles, the famous blind musician. And the question we have been asking you all week, this is our convention contest, the question we've been asking you all week is, which state affiliate in terms of its membership is the largest state affiliate of the American Council of the Blind? Blind. So in terms of its membership, which is the largest state affiliate of the American Council of the Blind, and that contest has about 24 hours left to run, and we will probably announce the winner of that during our banquet coverage, which will be going out on ACB Radio Mainstream tomorrow evening. So the question again is, and you've got just probably about 24 hours in which to get your answers in, and I'll give you the email address shortly, but that question again: in terms of its membership, which is the largest state affiliate of the American Council of the Blind? And of course the email address you write to is convention@acbradio.org. That's convention@acbradio.org, and convention@acbradio.org is of course the address that you write to if you have any questions or comments about our coverage this week. And again, you've probably got just over 24 hours, about a day left really, if you want to contact us, and we'll be closing that email box tomorrow evening at the banquet, and that will be the end of that. So convention@acbradio.org if you've got any final remarks. And you can also of course write to convention@acbradio.org on MSN Messenger as well, and so we would certainly welcome your live input. And if you have any thoughts about this evening's proceedings or any questions, we will do our very best to pass those along. I don't know if we're going to be able to get any questions from the internet for the candidates themselves. I think the suggestion box for those questions has probably been closed by now, purely for logistical reasons. Obviously we need to get those questions railed up so that the host this evening, Mr. Jay Doudna, can obviously have a copy of the questions. So Jay will be joining us in around about half an hour to kick off the candidates forum, although I have to say it's a little bit quiet at the moment here in the convention centre. There don't seem to be many people about, so we're hoping it's going to fill up in the next half an hour. Debbie, do you remember, I didn't hear any reference to the candidates forum in the general session business today, although I was in and out, so they may well have mentioned it.
They did mention it.
They did mention it. Oh, well, there you go. Ye of little faith, aren't I just? Okay. So, Debbie, let's hand over to you and to Rick, and let's go through some of the individuals who are seeking office within ACB.
Okay, yes, and we do actually have a listener question that's interesting as well. Let's see if I can... what was that? and Gremlins just jumped out and got me. live radio here. Okay, a couple of things. Yes, we'll talk about we can talk about the candidates, but we're going to also talk about, answer the question that was asked, and that relates a little bit to process, how the various processes work with the candidates, with the nominating committee, and all of those things. And ACB is a funny animal. I have never been involved in the ACB politics in a big way. I've been a member a long time, so I'm sure that there are people who will pop in and correct everything I say about this, but I think this is fairly accurate. Basically, each state does appoint someone to the nominating process, but actually those people are not really the nominating committee. The nominating committee is a formal committee appointed by the president well ahead, and basically serves just as it would in any other organization to nominate the most likely candidates or the candidates that the organization is going to officially endorse. And so, for example, there is a slate of candidates that are put forward by each of those situations, for each of the offices. It is, though, like in many, many organizations, possible to nominate people all the way up to the last minute, and that does happen. And people can, and have before, declared themselves even as late as the candidates forum here. Now, that doesn't seem like a wise thing to me. Again, editorial comment here. But that doesn't seem so wise to me, because ACB provides a number of opportunities for the candidates to express themselves and to get their views out to the populace and to the voters. So certainly, for example, you can we have a web page on the ACB site. If you go to acb.org, you'll find a the Board of Publications Candidates Forum page on that site, and you can in fact read information, responses from the candidates to a variety of questions that were asked of them, and that's very, very cool. Also, once you're here, we've not ever mentioned this really here on the coverage because it doesn't really apply to us, but you've heard in the different announcements changes for the different caucus rooms, and what happens is that every affiliate of any reasonable size is given the opportunity to have a caucus with the candidates. And so my affiliate, being a big one, it has a big breakfast, which I missed this morning, by the way, to be with you all. But basically, some of them have just a small meeting. Some of them have a big breakfast meeting or whatever. If you looked on the program page, you can see that the breakfasts and different meetings. And basically, all of those meetings are available for the different state affiliates to kind of get an idea of how they want to vote, how they're going to vote for the candidates. And so the candidates come and they speak to each of those. And so far, the only candidates who have been speaking that I am aware of at the caucuses are those candidates who are listed on the Board of Publications candidates page on the ACB site. Now, we have heard some discussion around about at least one additional candidate, and we'll see if that person comes forward and nominates themselves. But it's interesting to me that you would or gets themselves nominated. But you know, we'll see if that occurs. But typically. Okay, so our listener again asks, does that give the organization an advantage if the organization puts up a candidate? I suppose this is a pretty common practice, at least in American organizations. I don't know worldwide if it is, but almost every organization that I'm in actually it's kind of like having your political party, you know, send forward its candidate for public office and. But still being able to take in write-ins. Does the organization's candidate always win? No, actually not. And I'm not like Charlie Hodgin that I didn't memorize, don't remember every single person who's held every single office. And I say that with all due respect.
Yes.
I really don't remember. If you say to me, this person was here and this person was there, I'll say, oh, yeah, I remember that.
Right.
But I don't have it up front. So I have been here when it has been the case. And I'm trying to, I'll try to think of that in a little
bit. It's an interesting point, and one of the things that strikes me as slightly odd, being from the UK as I am, is that people, as Charlie mentioned earlier on, can declare themselves right up until the wire, pretty much.
They can, yeah.
And that seems remarkable that people can do that. Certainly,
yeah.
In the UK, if you're standing for public office, you need to have registered and paid a deposit by a particular date.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you know, if 20 people were to put themselves up for a particular office tomorrow, I mean, that would cause havoc in terms of organizing the election.
If they were to put themselves up this late, I think that is... I think that is a poor organization. I mean, again, this is my personal view, but just thinking about organizational
history. It's not necessarily the organization that puts people up. I mean,
no.
If people get nominated and so on. We had a situation similar to this, I guess, in was it 2003?
Mm-hmm.
When was it Steve Spiker,
right,
I think, ran
yes.
against Chris Gray for the office of president,
right.
And he declared very, very late.
Very late. However, it was very, very known that he would be declaring. I mean, we actually knew. He was very vocal about it. He'd been around to different caucuses.
Sure.
We knew about it. So although he physically declared late, that was the first. He could only publicly declare at the opportunities that were given. For example, we've not actually opened nominations from the floor for any offices as of this point. So technically, in the entirety of public declaration, you couldn't. Now, in this particular election so far, we only have one contested race. So if we
which is for treasurer.
So if we look at this as the example, the nominating committee placed into nomination Artis Bazin, who is the incumbent treasurer and is entitled to another term if all is well, and so that was the logic of that. And then Michael Gudina from New York State has also placed himself in nomination. So he did several things. He's he is not technically a bona fide candidate, I believe, because he's not been able to be nominated yet, to be a candidate. But he sent in his responses. He did all the right things. He sent in his responses to the questions. The Board of Publications posted their questions. Who are you? What are you doing? There's a set of questions up here. We can look at them. But basically, they're here. And Michael responded to the set of questions, as you would, and then he also has been touring around to the caucuses. We know that he's actually an active, viable, from that respect, candidate. So he will speak this evening at the forum, and he will probably be placed into formal nomination, actually, I suppose, tomorrow, because this isn't a business meeting. He can't be placed into nomination tonight. So if there are other candidates that surface tonight, that's fine. They can.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't seem wise, like I said, from my perspective,
to call it at the late stage.
To run yourself now, because
absolutely,
I mean, what would be kind of the point? But,
well, that's it. You haven't got time to launch a campaign.
Yeah,
and all of
the caucuses are over. This is designed so that this is the last event.
That's right.
Before we begin the arduous process
completely.
Of the vote, which won't be too arduous.
That's
hopefully.
Right. You're listening to ACB Radio Mainstream. If you're tuning in live, it is 1:45 Universal. On the 8th of July here in Las Vegas, it is the 7th of July, and it's 6:45 p.m., which is 9:45 p.m. on the East Coast. And we're in conversation with Debbie Cook and Rick Lewis, and we're talking about the Candidates Forum, coverage of which we'll be bringing you very shortly. And so, Debbie, you've mentioned one of the contests, or at least a contest that we know about officially at this point, which is that for treasurer. Now, let's just mention the potential other contest. There's a lot of rumors flying around at the moment.
Okay.
And there is a gentleman from Canada.
From Ottawa.
From Ottawa in Canada,
mm-hmm.
who, as we understand it, could be, and we have to stress that, allegedly.
He has indicated to people, but he is not, and I have not checked every caucus, so let's say he didn't come to the caucuses that I, so please mm-hmm. be aware that this is very rudimentary. I went around and asked the people who I saw in a, in reasonable states if
they weren't drunk then.
Well, not when I saw them. Maybe they were during their caucus. But these were ones that were big enough to have breakfast. I asked the states where you were likely to go if you, or some of the states where you were likely to go if you definitely were going to caucus, but maybe weren't going to make everything. Because it is possible that a candidate doesn't make, for example, a caucus that's at 7 o'clock on Thursday morning, as mine was, and maybe made all the others, but
so,
not too early.
So this potential candidate... who could be running against Chris, because Chris is standing again for a third term. Mr. Gray standing for his third, and which would, if he were to win tomorrow, assuming that there was an election, this would be his final term. An ACB president could only serve three consecutive terms. I think you can come back there.
Hasn't happened, but you could do it.
Yeah, I think there's any provision in the Constitution to prevent somebody from coming back.
That's correct.
I know a lot of people would like Paul Edwards to come back mm-hmm. at some point. I don't mm-hmm. think he has any intention of doing that, but mm-hmm. I know certainly a lot of people have made that known to me. So, the gentleman from Canada, do we have a name, Debbie?
Brian Lingard.
Brian Lingard. And do we know anything about Brian Lingard?
Well, he's been a member of ACB for a really long time, and in his ACB capacity, I actually don't know that he has served on any particular, you know, organizational things. I mean, he's not been high profile. I've known him, you know, as a member of the organization for a long, long time, and an active convention attendee, et cetera. But I don't actually, you know, because he didn't actually declare and write a kind of a bio of his activities in the organization, and
right.
So we don't have anything official. And I actually don't, just on my speculative nature, have something that I can say, oh yeah, of course, you know, he's always been doing X or Y, and you know, even though it's not written here, I know this, and everyone knows this. So
now,
I don't know.
Now Brian Lingard is from Ottawa, so I assume he's a Canadian.
Yes.
Does that present any issues? Are foreign nationals able to run for president of the American Council of the Blind?
You asked me that the other day as we were just having a social chat, and I knew you'd ask me that again. So and I appreciated the heads up. You know, I can't find anything that prohibits it, and I did look. I think the copy of the Constitution and bylaws I have is relatively current. I don't do a perfect job of keeping up with all that. I'm not, you know, part of it. I tend to have, when I've not been doing help with ACB Radio, I've tended to work in resolutions, so that's the area I'm more expert in. But I can't see anything that precludes it as long as he's a member in good standing.
However, I suspect that a lot of people are going to be asking themselves.
Well, that's
that question.
It. That's it. That's a question for the membership. And my feeling, and again, this is my personal opinion, not that of ACB. My feeling is that an organization such as the American Council of the Blind, it would be very remarkable were they to elect somebody who wasn't an American as their president.
I would say, you know, obviously the issues that I would be the most concerned about for any candidate, you know, who comes forward are, you know, where are they within the organization? What have they demonstrated to us? You know, sort of all of those things being equal. And then, sure, I might factor in the fact of their citizenship later down the line. But honestly, first place for me is going to be really, you know, what are they doing in the organization? What have they been doing in other related organizations that sets them up? And I don't know, again, personal bias, not the view of ACB, obviously, or certainly the view of the radio or anything else, but if I'm going to declare for one of these offices, I am going to demonstrate that declaration by responding to the Board of Publications' request to have my information on the website and by making every dang caucus. In fact, especially if I am the dark horse, I have to be out there doing that. And again, the candidates who are registered, the only race that shows itself as having an opponent, you know, Mr. Godina has in fact been doing all those things. And again, that doesn't make him, you know, one way or the other, you know, anyone's candidate of choice over Artis Basin, but it does set him up to be a competitive candidate because he's actually, you know, following the process very well, and as is she, and obviously we're not electing you for process, but if you're not in that process, I don't know how you can expect. So I will actually be kind of surprised if Mr. Lingard actually does declare now. We had some indication earlier in the week that he would, but that was pretty early in the week, and
a week's a long time in politics.
And a week's a long time. Believe me, in this organization, a day has been in the
Absolutely.
Past a long time in
Absolutely.
Politics.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Thank you for joining us. I'm Dave Williams. The other voice you can hear there is that of Debbie Cook from Washington. And we are just getting comfortable preparing for this evening's Candidates Forum. And the time I have now is 1:52 Universal, 6:52 p.m. Pacific time, 9:52 Eastern, and things still very, very quiet around here.
You know, I'm beginning to wonder if we actually may be earlier than we thought.
Well, according to the program, 7 till 8:30.
Yeah, it says it. We are competing with other events, and we're competing with a GDUI dog massage. I know about that one. And we're competing with some other events.
If I don a harness and wander on down there, do you think that I might be able to just sneak on in?
You have to lay on the floor.
That's fine.
And of course, a lot of offices are uncontested.
With most of the offices uncontested, I'm not sure how. I mean,
much interest are there?
Yeah, somebody said to me when they said, "What are you doing this evening?" I said, "Oh, I've got to go, you know, assist at the mainstream for the candidates forum," and they looked at me with this kind of blank look, and they said, "Candidates forum? There are no candidates." And they said, "Oh well, there's one, but one contestant, and he came to our caucus, and I'm all prepared." So people may feel
that this is done and dusted.
That this is done and dusted. And and sometimes it is. You know, sometimes if you have a lot of contested offices, if you have certainly, again, going back to your commentary about 2003, where there was a lot of sensitivity, particularly around the presidency, you wouldn't miss the candidates' forum if you planned to vote, because even though you heard things in your caucus, were they going to hold up here?
Yeah.
You know?
And certainly last year it was a full house, I seem to remember, on the night. And this year the candidates' forum happening in the same location as the general session, so there's plenty of seats out there for people to come on in. But
well, that's true. A couple hundred people could show up, and there would be nothing in here.
That's
this
right.
Is such a big room.
That's right. That's right. ACB Radio Mainstream, connecting the blind community. Hi, if you've just joined us, if you're listening live. It is Thursday evening here in the United States, and the local time is 6:54 Pacific, 9:54 Eastern, and that is 1:54 Universal on a Friday morning. Now, Debbie, you mentioned that the Board of Publications has this web page, and they have some fairly specific questions that they put to people who are running for office. So let's should we perhaps review some of those questions?
Yes, there are only a few, and each of the candidates who responded to the information to be placed online back in. Oh, wow.
Well, maybe that's why there's no one here. They're all wireless internet in the
hotel.
They're
all in their rooms.
We just got a listener count, basically.
Okay, well, good deal. And there are some people here. They're back about halfway back in the room. And
they're straggling.
They're coming. And food's always hard to obtain here in a timely way, so people will be late, I'm sure. But basically, there are a few questions that they're asked to ask. The first one is what office are you seeking, and what qualifications do you uniquely possess that qualify you for this office? And the second question is, what do you think ACB's response should be and attitude should be in major issues such as Social Security rehabilitation and other disability-related issues? And the third question talks about recruiting. How do you feel that ACB can go about recruiting new members, particularly young people who are... Excuse me, I was looking at the question again. How can ACB recruit and retain new members, particularly people under 50? They no longer care about me. I've gone over the hill.
It's interesting because Charles Hodge, the chairman,
it hasn't changed yet.
That's right, it's not changed yet. It will be chair.
Well, I think he's chairperson at the moment. The chair of the Board of Publications, mentioned earlier during our coverage of the business session, that he felt that this convention particularly was very exciting, that there were a lot of first-timers, a lot of young people about.
Yeah, and I've noticed that too, and it's really good. There are other questions that we have are what would you do to encourage a sense of belonging for members? One of the things that people have felt or expressed a little bit over the last couple of years because of some of the issues that have kind of gone on politically is that there may be a bit of disenfranchisement in some ways in the organization. So the candidates are specifically being asked this year to comment to that. The fifth question has to do with streamlining the ACB convention to make it more to make the convention less costly and to make it more practical and appropriate for people to participate in the convention business sessions. And I should have run for an office because I have a thought about that, but this is not the forum for it. But anyway, basically, the very practical questions that they asked each of them to talk about, both in terms of themselves personally, their opinions on the political front in terms of how they relate to the politic of the world, disability issues, and then internally how they relate to issues in ACB.
Right. So it's a quite general questions, but a range of things covered there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think very, very nice. And we're at some point, imagine...
Very nice. Yeah. I shall pass that on to the Board of Publications.
It is nice. It's a very well done... I think it's a well done piece, and I think it did allow them lots of... I felt reading, you know, all of their responses that you do get a feel for them, and I think the questions were open-ended enough. Mm. They covered, as I said, you know, a pretty broad parameter of things, the external, the internal, and sort of your personal view.
And people can check that out online right now at the ACB website, acb.org.
Yes, and BOP, let's see, whoops, sorry.
That's okay.
I'll tell you where it is.
We would get into reading some of the responses, but would inevitably happen is that we would get through
we'll
one
get,
candidate.
And then we'll be done. But they can they can access it directly at
that's
at,
right. People are listening online.
acb.org/BOP forum.html.
There we are.
So I wanted to give them the direct. If they like people who like to go to direct places, they can go right in there and they can read all of them for themselves. And yeah, that's wise because if we get started, we might then only be able to do one. So we shouldn't. But it's all very clearly there. And clearly readable, and each candidate is an individual link. And
do you want to give that URL again, Debbie?
Yes, it's http://acb.org/BOPforum.html.
A very good evening from the Riviera Hotel and Casino here in Las Vegas. I'm Dave Williams, and you're tuned to ACB Radio Mainstream. The local time is 7 p.m. on Thursday, the 7th of July, 2005, and that's 10 p.m. over on the east coast of the United States. Universal time is 2 hours UTC on Friday, the 8th of July. Thank
and
you very much
for... And
we
are starting to get more people.
Yeah, thank you very much for joining us. And we have had our email box open all week. convention@acbradio.org is the address to write to. And you can also use MSN Instant Messenger if you would like to get in contact with us here and send us any feedback. We certainly welcome your comments and questions, and we'll do our very best to... get those to air and to try and get your questions answered.
Mm-hmm.
Also at the table, it's not just myself and Debbie Cook, it's also Rick Lewis. Good evening, Rick.
Good evening. Keeping a rather low profile because Deb knows all this stuff about the elections.
Okay, we're just hearing that we're going to start in just a few minutes, so we're running just a few minutes behind schedule.
We have one comment from a listener that's worth noting that I forgot to actually mention that's useful. On the candidates page, there is no actual input from either Chris Gray, who is running for president, or Donna Seliger, who is running for secretary. All the other candidates are represented on the page, but those who are not contested in particular, Chris and Donna, have actually not submitted a... That would be an interesting thing if they now became, particularly since we've been talking about the fact that Chris could have an opponent. He does not have a bio appear on the page. And I don't think that's a... It's not theoretically a problem. Not doesn't disqualify him from running... And these are optional. But it's an interesting point that was made and that I actually thought of and forgot to mention that... Again, you know, if I were doing this, I'd make sure I had one up here.
On the other hand, if you feel you're a known enough commodity...
Absolutely. What more could you say? And that's how they would both undoubtedly feel. I mean, you know...
And following the turmoil of the last convention in Alabama, it will be interesting to hear what President Gray has to offer members in terms of the... to offer members in terms of a vision for the next 2 years.
It will indeed, and I think people, regardless of whether an office is contested or not, I'm sure they'll be listening very, very carefully to what is said and still be drawing conclusions and
making up
their minds about how they feel, you know, whether they feel the direction is proper or maybe something that they would prefer to be different.
Well, one of the big issues, and this was certainly part and parcel of some would describe it as a debacle, some would describe it as a victory for democracy, in Alabama, was that there was a perceived, or that there was allegedly a perceived disconnect between the leadership and the rank and file membership of ACB, and maybe that's something that candidates this evening will address.
I think they will. In fact, they will, because one of the questions does, in fact, move them to choose to address that. And I think one of the things that I would be sort of looking for in those presentations is, do you dodge that by just making some kind of generic statement about, oh, you know, we really want everyone to be part of this organization, and here's all the ways you can, you know, and do-do-do-do-do, and it's like, oh, okay. Or are you going to get really straight down and say, you know, this has we have some challenges, we have some things to face, we have some things to try to deal with, and here are some real practical things that I think we need to do, and here's how I, as a candidate, am planning to contribute to that. And, you know, we'll see whether they do. I mean, you know, we can do the post-mortem, but, it's basically... I think that that would be my expectation in looking for this as a member and looking to see what people do is when they say that. So.
We received a comment from Jeff Shank, who says, quote, Debbie for president.
Bad idea. I have served in an office on the state level. I've done a lot of activity on the state level. In the national level, I actually served as a chair of a committee, subcommittee, and things. But now I've kind of given it up for armchair quarterbacking on the radio.
Excellent. Well, we certainly welcome your punditry this evening. Absolutely. Our pundits this evening, Rick Lewis and Debbie Cook. And guys, I just want to take this opportunity to really thank you two for being with ACB Radio this week. It's certainly made my job a lot easier, getting in the morning and setting up by oneself at 7 o'clock after just 4 or 5 hours of sleep can be pretty soul destroying some days, but when there are a couple of other people there and you can have a laugh and a joke over a coffee, it really does make it all worthwhile. And then of course on air, we've had to fill 35 minutes here now. We're running about 5 minutes behind schedule ahead of the candidates forum, and it does make it a lot easier when we can have a little bit of back and forth like this. So,
and we've had a wonderful time. This has been
very
actually the best convention for me that I've ever been to. It's certainly been the one where I've had the best attendance at the sessions.
And while I'm not at home listening, like many of our listeners are today and throughout the convention, that's where I was last year. So I kind of have a real, and that's where Deb was last year. So we kind of have that real connection with what it's like to be on the other end. And it's been very enjoyable for us.
Yeah, I've listened to, I think I've listened to 3 conventions on the internet and then streamed 2 here with ACB. This being the second. And I think it does give you some perspective when you see it from both sides of the fence, and you realize what it's like to listen and what sorts of information you want, but then also being here and realizing the logistical challenges which one faces when trying to cover an event of this type.
Now we won't have time to do this because I do think Jay's going to start fairly soon, but at some point we will have to have the arduous discussion of how ACB votes, and I suppose we'll do that in the morning.
I expect
set up, but that is one of those, or maybe even some when we complete in here, depending on how late it runs. But we will have to have, because that is a very complicated process, particularly for people to understand who are outside the U.S. and aren't familiar with, like, the U.S. Electoral College system for presidency, because it does work somewhat like that.
And so, that's puzzling to people inside the U.S.
It is,
too.
And it's puzzling to us, some of us, sometimes in ACB, but nevertheless, it is a long-standing tradition for how we do the vote, and it has definitely impacted outcomes. And so we'll be talking about that later, because that will definitely factor in.
We will indeed. And if we don't get to it in this broadcast, then we'll certainly...
We'll have to talk to it in the morning before we start voting.
Absolutely, absolutely. We'll talk about that tomorrow. Maybe we should perhaps just look ahead to the final day of the business of ACB, which of course will begin tomorrow morning from 8:30 on ACB Radio Mainstream. That's 8:30 Pacific, 11:30 Eastern, 15:30 Universal. And our coverage, of course, will begin 30 minutes earlier at 8 Pacific, 11 Eastern, 15 Universal. And we will, of course, talk about voting tomorrow. And really, I guess we're expecting the business and the voting to take up the lion's share of the time tomorrow.
Really,
It will take all of it.
All of it. And the election itself is scheduled for right after the break.
about 17:30 or 17:35 UTC, which is 1:30 p.m. Pacific and 10:30 a.m. I should say 1:30 p.m. Eastern, 10:30 a.m. Pacific. Well, if you can say it wrong, say it with confidence, I've always said. And maybe a few minutes after that, it's certainly possible, because it will be right around that break time. Right after that break concludes, and a whole bunch of time has been carved out. An hour and a half has been actually carved out for the election itself, although I doubt very seriously that it's going, you know, with most of the offices uncontested, I doubt that it's going to take up anywhere near that time. But there are going to be resolutions to deal with, and much of the same sort of discussion you've heard about, like, for example, we had the thing about Robert's Rules today, and the thing about the, you know, chair people, there's going to be a lot of procedural things happening, and a lot of resolutions about probably agencies and various matters having to do with the blindness community that will be discussed at great length tomorrow. Yeah.
What happens with the resolutions, of course, is that they form the policy of the organization. And I know from having been a committee chair for many, many years that what happens after the resolutions is that those resolutions are then dispersed to the committee that appears to be most appropriate. I say appears very, very liberally, because I remember receiving some that I tried to send back. That appears to be the most relevant committee to send that resolution to in terms of further action. What we don't have a real process for in ACB is a systematic methodology, in at least my view, for how we really then go back and account for, did we do something? Now, certainly we do know that many times we do things related to the resolutions, and we certainly get, the organization moves forward, makes policy, does all those things based on resolution. And that's entirely how that process works. But we don't have a real system for accounting for every single one. And I know that, again, from having been a committee chair and having received resolutions, that some I was able to take more action on than others, you know, in the committee. And for varieties of reasons, some of which, you know, could have even been our fault. I mean, just whatever. And so we have this long history of resolutions and all of these different things, but sometimes I think there are so many that it becomes really challenging to deal with that stuff. And so there's sometimes some repetition, and sometimes the resolutions committee works really, really hard to try to sort this stuff down, and they do a marvelous job, and they do all of it in the middle of the night. So they must all be part of those blind people who went to the sleep thing today.
Well, I've done that resolutions committee stuff.
They do that all into the
burning the 4 a.m. oil.
It is the 4 a.m. oil.
But one of the things that's really important to note, though, about resolutions, they may at times, when you listen to them, especially at home, if you've never gone to a convention before or never done the convention thing, they may seem at times to be very technical and maybe even very tedious. But they really do have to be written to exacting standards. They have to be written very, very clearly. They have to say exactly what they intend to say and not imply anything else, because they're going to become, if passed, they will become the written record of the organization, the written standard.
Here we go.
So move forward.
This is a huge room. Yeah.
Some of you that are sitting in the back, please come up here closer. You don't have to sit in your delegation.
They become the written stand of the organization. We thought things were starting out.
And Jay is asking everyone to move forward, which is exactly what you'd want them to do. They're all sitting in the back of the room. It's actually quite an attendance, but it's pretty far back in the room.
Yeah.
They're coming forward now.
Well, either that or we'll just all move back.
We could all move
back. Let's take all this sound equipment.
We'll reverse
back there.
The room around. Yeah.
There you go.
But anyway, yes, as Rick was saying, the resolutions will become the official business of the organization. And so the resolutions committee works very hard on that. And they're still just doing some logistics of moving people around, sorting things out. We have not started.
But we thought we were going.
But we thought we were, so that's why we stopped talking.
You probably thought, does this guy ever end his sentences?
No, we are very close to starting, though. They are positioning people at the podium, which is just up to our left. We are in the convention. We are in the front right corner. Oh, okay. We are positioning ourselves in the front. Let's see. Jay is talking.
System devices is working.
Oh. Oops. All right. All the people who need to use the assistive listening should go back to their rooms and listen on the Internet, because the assistive listening system is not working, but the Internet is. So.
We're just kind of kidding about that, folks.
Not at all. But, no, we're...
Are you done? Do you hear anything now?
No, there are testing. So you will be hearing Jay, and we kind of pause a little bit as
because
that happens.
We don't know. We don't know what he's going to do.
We're not quite sure either.
Except that if he does things like last year, we'll actually get a little hint.
I think so. We'll be in business. And if you're just joining us, this is ACB Radio Mainstream, connecting the blind community around the world. I'm Dave Williams. The other two voices you can hear are those of Debbie Cook and Rick Lewis.
And again, if you want to follow along with the candidates, at least the currently declared candidates, you can do so on the web at the ACB candidates page located at acb.org/BOPforum.html. Or you can just make it easy for yourself and go to the ACB homepage, and you'll find the link to the candidates forum, Board of Publications candidates forum page right on the main page of the ACB page. And so you can follow along with us as we work along through the candidate as they answer those questions. Now, the other thing that has been going on all week and available is the box for submitting additional candidate questions. So, for example, if you don't think these five are enough, then certainly by all means, it has been possible during the week to submit questions. And some of you have asked about submitting questions, and I've had you go to your delegation to do that, because I've had no way to print off questions from the Internet. But basically, the candidates may be responding to additional questions. So in other words, we assume that the candidates are not here to just read what they put on the web, for crying out loud, but to actually do something else. Do something else. And so in that doing something else, they will be responding to this. So they will not be taking questions from the floor. So they will not. Oh, someone has a runoff with the assistive listening. They are basically going to be responding to those additional questions that people were able to submit during the week. And that suggestion box or question box for the candidates forum was open until late this afternoon for the consideration of those who wanted to submit additional questions.
So Debbie, you need to pause for breath. I think we're going to take a break in the nicest possible way. We're going to take a break. Take care of a little bit of business here, and we'll be right back with the 2005 Candidates Forum from the 44th Annual Convention of the American Council of the Blind.
The American Foundation for the Blind is proud to support ACB Radio. Visit AFB Career Connect at afb.org to find employment planning tools for people who are blind or visually impaired.
The Seeing Eye proudly sponsors ACB Radio. For 75 years, the Seeing Eye has enhanced the independence and dignity of people who are blind or visually impaired through the use of Seeing Eye dogs. Visit our website, www.seeingeye.org.
Programming on ACB Radio is made possible in part through financial support from the Verizon Corporation. Verizon, a proud supporter of ACB Radio.
Throughout the month of July, ACB Radio and HumanWare are empowering the blind community by teaming up to give you the chance to win the all-new VoiceNote Empower, the very latest note-taker in the BrailleNote family of products. Each week this month, you'll be asked a specific question about the Empower. Email your answers to empower@acbradio.org. That's the letter M, power@acbradio.org. At the end of the month, all those who have submitted four correct entries will go into a drawing and become eligible to win the Empower. ACB general contest rules apply and can be found at acbradio.org.
And here's this week's question. Which of the following is a new feature in the Empower? Is it A, USB connectivity, B, support for either a Braille or QWERTY keyboard, or C, support for email?
HumanWare and ACB Radio, empowering the blind community.
Welcome back to the Riviera Hotel and Casino. I'm Dave Williams, and you're tuned to ACB Radio Mainstream. We're just awaiting the start of the Candidates Forum this Thursday evening, and things here running just a little bit behind schedule. I understand that we're missing a couple of people, so we will perhaps spare their blushes and perhaps not reveal who those individuals are. But certainly a couple of people running a little bit behind schedule. So we will keep you company for the next little while. You just heard there, of course, about the voice note Empower promotion that ACB Radio has is currently running with the good people at Humanware. And, of course, the Empower promotion is not the only contest that we're running at the moment.
No.
We have our convention question, which is, in terms of its membership, which is the largest state affiliate of the American Council of the Blind? In terms of its membership, which is the largest state affiliate of the American Council of the Blind? So send your answers in on a postcard, or even an email to Empower.
No,
to convention at ACB. That's the first time I've done that. That's the first time, and it will be the last. Convention at acbradio.org. That's convention at acbradio.org for our convention question, which relates to affiliates and so on. So that's which, in terms of its membership, is the largest state affiliate of the American Council of the Blind. And your names will go into a drawing to win the movie Ray on DVD with the descriptive audio on there. And that's courtesy of the ACB store. And for more information about the ACB store, you can visit them online at the ACB website. That's www.acb.org. And of course, click on the link for the ACB store.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And we are waiting for things to begin here. It shouldn't be too long because, you know, we are at the point where the folks are gathered and we'll be expecting things to start. I think it's a very healthy thing for the American Council of the Blind to do these candidates for them, even if the offices are uncontested. I think it really gives the candidates a chance to, you know, to show themselves, you know, to the public, to, how would you put it, continue to identify with the public by, you know, by having to put themselves out there and let people know how they feel about issues and how they would represent the organization.
And it's a nice way for candidates to update, you know, their positions. Or, you know, we hear from the president all the time. You hear from Chris, you know, as the incumbent president.
President Gray.
You do know what his you do know what his positions are on things. He's giving them to you. But you don't know as much about the other officers in that respect. I mean, they do preside over different sessions each day. A different officer presides over the meeting, so we get a better glimpse of them sort of interacting.
Okay.
But we don't know, you know, how that goes in terms of their big political
position.
Right. So that's the forum.
That's right. Well, Debbie and Rick, thank you very much. We very much appreciate your input this evening. And we're about to get underway. You're listening to ACB Radio Mainstream, connecting the blind community around the world. This is the 2005 Candidates Forum. And it's now my pleasure to hand you over to our host this evening, Mr. Jay Doudna.
Good evening, everybody. And we want to welcome our friends listening to us on ACB Radio. As we're live here, we're starting at 7:22 on the West Coast in Las Vegas, Nevada. My name is Jay Doudna, and I'm representing the Board of Publications this evening as the moderator. Before we get into the rules for the evening and anything else we have to say about that, the preliminaries, we're going to introduce the chairperson of the Board of Publications, Mr. Charles Hodge. Yeah.
To all of our friends throughout the world who are listening on ACB Radio, I'm Charlie Hodge, the present chairperson, hopefully soon to be chair, of the Board of Publications. And it's my great honor here to introduce the Candidates Forum. ACB in its convention guidelines has very strict rules that the convention communication center and the information desk are not in any way to hand out political campaign literature for any candidates, where we as an organization, particularly in contested contests for ACB office, are supposed to be absolutely neutral. But as a service to our members, the Board of Publications has sponsored a web page for candidates who declare early that many of you may have gone to and seen statements of the candidates who all answer the same questions posed by the Board of Publications. And tonight, we offer sort of a last chance. Many of our members here have already heard the candidates speak at various caucuses of state and special interest affiliates. And it's quite an ordeal for candidates. They literally sprint from caucus to caucus over the last couple of days. But ACB and the Bureau of Publications in recent years has offered an opportunity to bring all the candidates together in one place at one time, and official delegates from affiliates and members who may have either missed presentations at their caucuses can come here, listen to the candidates, pose questions. Jay will go into the procedure of how we're going to alternate live questions from the audience with questions either prepared by the BOP or offered by individual members through our suggestion box for this meeting. And you will see that there is a wide variety of questions that will be posed either to all the candidates who are seated here tonight or possibly just to the candidates for one particular office. So I want to thank everybody who has come here tonight. I want to thank all of those who are up at all hours of the day across the international dateline, where it is now Friday. Friday. What day is it? Friday, July 8th. And I want to particularly welcome people who are listening to come to an ACB convention and see what really happens here. I think you'll be impressed. We are the largest, most representative democratic organization of blind people in the United States and I think throughout the world. And we're proud of it. And I want now to thank Jay Doudna, who is a former appointed member of the BOP, served 6 years as an appointed member, the limit that he can serve, and has agreed with a little cajoling to preside again as the presiding impartial officer at this forum. Jay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Charlie, very much. Well, this is has been an exciting week for a lot of us. A lot of things happening. Tonight we have our candidates forum, as Charlie said, an opportunity for those of you listening to get to know the candidates. Also, for those of you in the audience to ask some questions. So here's the way we're going to do this. First of all, we have a couple of basic rules. The rules are that any conversations you're going to have, this isn't a general session. We don't want any conversations on the floor. That was supposed to be a joke. We don't really want any conversations while this is going on. If you do need to talk, go back out and leave the room. That's the first thing. Second thing is, please make sure you turn off all your cell phones, because we don't want them going off. Tonight we have the candidates. You all know who they are, but I'm going to mention them so you can know who they are. For president, it's Chris Gray. For first vice president, it's M.J. Schmidt. For second vice president, it's Mitch Pomerantz. For secretary, Donna Seliger. And for treasurer, we have two candidates, Artis Bazin and Mike Godino. Here's the way we're going to do this. We're going to have opening statements by the candidates, which will be 2 minutes. Then from that, I have a couple of questions from the BOP. You can be thinking your questions as we go along here, and I'll repeat this again when we get to that point. But if you do have a question, what I'm going to ask you to do is walk out to the end of the aisle. Come to this aisle here where I am. I just did that away so they could tell where I was. Come to the middle aisle here where we are and stand and wait by the end of the table. And then I'll come to you with the wireless. I'm going to take you in the order as how you came out. We'll try to be watching that so we know. And we're going to try to get this whole process done by 9 o'clock. All right, so the opening statements from our candidates. Are there any questions from the candidates? Hearing none, I guess we'll begin. Oh, yes, thank you. Thank you, Mike. My good friend Mike Duke is the timer tonight. Mike is a member of the Board of Publications, and I probably should mention the other members of the BOP as well. Cindy Burgett, Deanna Quietwater Noriega, and Winifred Downing. And, of course, then Mike Duke and Charlie Hodge. All right, so Mike is the timer. He will be giving you candidates 30 seconds, and he'll give you a 10-second announcement as well for these opening two-minute remarks. So why don't we open, and we'll start at the top and open with comments, two-minute introduction from President Chris Gray. Chris?
Thank you very much, Jay. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It's a pleasure always to come to a candidates forum and address you. I look forward in particular to hearing what the questions are tonight. Should be a lot of fun. I am running for my last term as president of the American Council of the Blind. In doing so and coming before you tonight, I ask you to consider this convention. And I hope you've all had a good time at this convention so far. This, believe it or not, this is the first real convention that what I think of as my team has had the opportunity to create. We created the contract. We created the venue. Well, I guess we didn't create the venue, but we took advantage of the created venue of the Riviera. And we got some experience under our belt in Houston, in Pittsburgh, and in Birmingham. But it's amazing to me that this is really the first convention we've taken from the inception to where we are today. And I think it shows. I've been able, in these first 4 years of my presidency, to build a wonderful team of people to do things for the organization. The board, and I hope my leadership has played a big part in that, has been able to get the organization back on a strong financial track. We've worked on membership. We work on advocacy. The other things I told you really in my presentation on Sunday evening, I don't want to review them all and bore you with them all again. I hope you'll consider me seriously as a candidate to fulfill the last 2 years of this term.
10 seconds.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chris. Now let's hear from the first vice presidential candidate, M.J. Schmidt. M.J.,
Jay, and good evening, everyone. I'm delighted that you're here. I had not intended to run for this position. However, after the divine intervention of Stephen Spiker and I got elevated to it, I kind of worked harder than usual for a year and decided that I would like to be among the great ladies in ACB, Marie Boring and Alma Murphy, who had reached this eclipse in the Old Boys Club. And so I decided I would run one more time. But I want everybody to know publicly that this is my last hurrah. I've done my last 95 caucuses and the candidates forum, which to me is overkill, but I understand how the Board of Publication feels about it. And I am glad to get everybody out there in radio land who I haven't probably talked to yet. I've done everything around this organization. What I did this year was run the 12 days to St. Patrick's Day raffle, and we had a lot of fun with it. I need to find out what the rules are in New York, and if they're rules that I can follow without hurting the organization in any way, then I'll run it again. And I ought to, but I'll run it differently, I'll tell you. I thank all of you who cooperated in that.
30 seconds.
Okay. I enlist your cooperation and thanks for all the fun I've had over the years in ACB.
All right, thanks very much, MJ. Next, we'll hear from second vice president and his second vice presidential candidate, Mr. Mitch Pomerantz.
Thank you, Jay, and good evening to everyone in the audience tonight and to the folks listening through ACB Radio, and a special hello to the friends that might be listening whom Donna and I met 2.5 years ago in South Africa. I am running for second vice president. It is my first, or would be my first, full term. I ran last year to fill the unexpired term created when MJ was elevated per our Constitution to the position of first vice president. I have an admission to make. It wasn't until very recently that I had some free time and made it a point to finally read People of Vision. And I did, and it took me so long because I wanted a block of time to read that book. I joined ACB in 1984, having come from the other organization with a lot of misconceptions about what this organization was. And in the past 21 years, I've learned to love this organization and to take pride in being a member and to want to participate in the activities of the American Council of the Blind. But I'll tell you, I got a whole new jolt of pride and
seconds.
Respect and love when I read People of Vision. Anyone who hasn't read it, please, please do so. I am so proud to be a member of this organization. I can't tell you how proud I am. I'm proud that you elected me last year. I want
seconds.
The opportunity to serve a full term, and I thank you all very much for being here tonight and for supporting me last year. Hopefully you'll support me this year.
Thank you, Mitch. Now we move on to our secretary, and this is Donna Seliger, and she's going to speak now. Donna?
Hello out there. I am very pleased and proud to be up here tonight to be on this stage with these wonderful people. And I would like very much to serve the American Council of the Blind for the next 2 years as its recording secretary. I have enjoyed the past 4 years of being your secretary, and I would like to serve for my final 2 years. I think that we have a good working board. We've had some problems, and we've worked through those problems, and I believe that our board is working as one cohesive group now, and we get a lot done. We respect one another, and we listen to one another, and even though we have some differences, we always come out of the room being friends, and that's the important thing. So I ask you to please consider me as your secretary for the next 2 years. Thank you.
Thank you, Donna. We have two candidates for treasurer this year. The person, of course, I didn't mention, I probably should have said this, the candidates that you've heard
up to this point came out of the nominating committee, and they are the slate of officers that the nominating committee chose on Monday evening. What made me say that, I neglected to mention at the beginning, was because Artis Bazin, one of the candidates for treasurer, is the candidate that came out of the nominating committee as nominated by the nominating committee. The other candidate is Mike Godino. At this moment, Mike is not here. And I'm not sure why. I know when I saw him in the hallway earlier today, I know he fully intended to be here. So when he comes, we'll include him in wherever we are in the process. As some people do around here, including me, they get lost. So he may be wandering around coming from the food court over there in the casino land somewhere, for all we know. Anyway, so to continue on then, we'll call on right now, candidate for treasurer, Artis Bazin. Artis, this is 2 minutes. Thank you.
Hello, everyone. I'm Artis Bazin, and currently I live in Burbank, California. Some of you maybe remember I came from Iowa. I am seeking to serve my third and final term as treasurer of ACB. I came to my first convention, a national convention, 20 years ago here in Las Vegas. So it brings back memories of my very first convention. I lost my sight when I was 20, and along with that went some of my self-esteem. But once I got involved in ACB and found out what blind people could really do, it really inspired me. And I think ACB is a great organization, and I'm glad to be a part of it. By meeting people here and networking with many ACB members, I was inspired to go back to college and get my master's degree, which I would have never done if I had not met wonderful ACB people. I have enjoyed, in my 4 years as treasurer, getting to know Jim Olson better. Of course, I was on the board for 2 terms first, and so I knew him for quite a while. But Jim was a very inspiring person, and he was so dedicated to ACB that I think most of us would like to emulate him.
30 seconds.
I want to serve you more in the next 2 years and keep our financial situation on track. We've done much better last year and this year, and I think we want to continue to build more diversity in ACB, and I want us to continue to become a greater and greater organization. And that can only happen by having financial success as well as great members.
10 seconds.
I've enjoyed working with the membership and enjoyed meeting many of you, and I hope to do so in the next 2 years. So I'd like to have your support. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Artis. I've just been told, just about a minute and a half ago, that Mike Godino is on his way. What I'm going to do, and in interest to be fair, I'm going to continue and go on and ask the first question. Then I'm going to let Mike make an opening statement. So right now, then, we'll go to the first question. Oh, yes, the time, thank you. Mr. Timer is keeping me straight here. Times for these answers is going to be a minute and a half. He's going to give you a 15-second warning for you to wrap up at a minute and 30. So here we go with the first question, which was submitted by the BOP. If the proposed changes to the rehabilitation services do occur, what should ACB do to ensure that quality services continue? And now we'll do what we often do, skip around. So we'll skip around and hopefully that this guy can remember who spoke. We'll start with Mitch Pomerantz. You understand the question, Mitch?
Yes, sir.
All right, you're on. This is a minute and a half.
If the proposed changes go through, we're all in serious trouble. We, I think, will then need to refocus, well, really do two things. One, we're going to need to deal with the downgraded commissioner position. We'll need to talk to whoever becomes the new director of the agency and explain our position and what we feel needs to be done on a national level. But I think more importantly, we will have to refocus on the states. We are going to have to assist our state affiliates to develop advocacy positions, to develop their positions in terms of dealing with block grants and dealing with the new realities that will be occurring on the state level. We did a roadmap session yesterday talking about advocacy on the state level, and I think that will become critical because we will then see a shifting
15 seconds
to the states, the block grant process, and we will have to have much stronger advocacy on the state level. So I think we will perhaps need to spend a good amount of time working with our state affiliates in that regard. Thanks.
All right, Mitch. Now, I can also say that if you as a candidate up there don't want to answer one of these, just say you don't want to answer, and that'll be all right. So let's see. We'll go over to Chris. Chris Gray.
Well, I feel a vague temptation to quarrel with the question because there are so many ways to address it.
Maybe that's why it was done that way, I guess.
Let me try this. I mean, depending on what happens, we don't know what could happen. But let's say that we know the regional offices are going to close. That probably is a given at this point. What that means is we have got to encourage our members through the leadership of your state organizations and your regions to really begin to keep much, much closer track of what's going on in rehabilitation in your states because nobody else is going to do it. Don't imagine for one moment that it's going to be done from Washington by RSA with half the staff. Oversight will be a thing of the past. If some of the other things occur, such as the downgrading of the commissioner and other changes in the financing, that will mean that not only do blind people have less visibility, but the entire disability community has less visibility at the level of the White House. That means that the
15 seconds.
Change from a focus on rehabilitation may continue in ways that are very, very dangerous for us. We will have to renew a kind of public education that began in 1908 and gave us rehabilitation legislation beginning in the 30s and
Time.
Really get back
Time.
To the basics of ACB.
All right. MJ, you want to tackle this one?
I certainly think we're going to have to go to our grassroots people and get them on board. The other night I was told by one of the agency directors who was here that this thing may look like a block grant, but it isn't a block grant, and we really shouldn't worry about it. Well, you know, if it's written like a block grant and it looks like a block grant, guess what it is? A block grant. We fought them in the 80s, and I thought they were gone forever, and they're back. And, you know, if the governor decides and he happens to have another disability in his family, it would be interesting to see how the money is apportioned. We just have to be very vigilant in all of this. We're in the fight of our lives, folks, and we're going to have to fight it. Thank you.
All right. Donna, do you want to try this?
I have been sitting here listening to the other candidates and their responses, and the thought that comes to my mind is that this is, if this were to come to fruition, then our state agencies that serve blind and visually impaired only will be weakened to the point where everyone will be shifted over to the one-stop shop, and we cannot have that because we are such a low incidence population that we're going to get shoved aside, and any training and so forth is going to be minimal at best, and probably in a lot of instances there will be no training. It is vitally important that we keep on top of this issue and do all we can, writing letters to Congress and even to misspellings, because we want
15
to keep the RSA as it is and to keep our state agencies as they are. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Donna. And finally, Artis, would you like to tackle this?
Sure. I think it will become more and more necessary for us to be better advocates, as some of the other ones have previously said. I think what's going to be really important is for us to become more involved in agency boards, like the Department for the Blind, and the, if they're under umbrella services, we will have to become involved in those boards, attend those board meetings. Right now, oftentimes, those are not very well attended, and I think we need to become more and more involved in that. Also, we will need to watch further legislation. If they cut the Blind Services Department out of the Department of Education, that's going to mean problems for the Randolph Shepherd program, which is under that, and also the Older Blind program, and we're going to have to watch that then they don't denigrate those services. We will have to keep on top of any legislation that comes out, because there are some people that want to have everyone involved in the Randolph Shepherd program, not just blind persons. And so once we get rid of blind services, the next step that they might try is to try to push all services together and not have specialized services at all. So it will become more and more important for us to advocate. And I think ACB will have to start 15. Pushing more training, legislative training, into our states. Get more and more people to know how to write letters, how to call their senators and representatives. And that's going to be our prime concern in the future.
All right, Artis, thanks very much. Want you people in the audience, as I mentioned to you earlier, to be thinking, I'm going to use another BOP question. But then I'm going to open it up for you in the audience, to be asking a question as well. So be thinking about that as we take further questions. Mike Godino has arrived, and so before I take the next question, I'm going to allow Mike to do a 2-minute opening statement. We've taken one question. Mike won't have the opportunity to address that subject, but he will in the future. So, Mike, you have 2 minutes to make an opening statement.
Well, let me first apologize. I went to dinner with a few people, and I asked about the candidates' forum, and I was told it was 8 o'clock, not 7 o'clock. So I went on those words, and here I am rushing down the hall when I heard the words coming out of this room. I have a great deal of experience managing treasuries of nonprofit organizations. I hope I can take my experience and bring it to the organization, the American Council of the Blind, and put forth my experience to create a sound fiscal policy and procedure manual for this organization, so that this organization's staff, board of directors, and members can turn those pages and understand exactly what our fiscal policy is, exactly what the dates are and reporting times are for the organization, and exactly where our funds are coming from and where our funds are going to. We as members need to understand that fiscal policy if we choose to be involved with that fiscal policy. In the past, it has been the board of directors' position to put forth fiscal policy, and in the meeting minutes of the past 44 years, I'm sure there's a great deal of fiscal policy. Yet that fiscal policy has never made it into the bylaws of the organization. So I would like to bring that to the organization and work for this organization to make a sound fiscal policies and procedures manual for this organization so that we can all understand the operation of this organization and how our fiscal policy affects our day-to-day operation. Thank you.
All right, Mike. I'm getting instructions from my timer. So. He told me to say remind them of the minute and a half. So, remember the minute and a half.
Thank you.
Is there anything like remember the main?
Yeah.
All right, here we go then. The next question that was submitted by the BOP. What suggestions do you have for ways that the organization, that's ACB, can better tap into the expertise that resides within the rank and file of the membership? So we're talking about suggestions to tap into the expertise in the rank and file of the membership. Let's this time see MJ, why don't you start with that one? And I also remember, so for Mike's benefit, you don't have to necessarily answer this question if you don't want.
Wait a minute, I'm getting a mic.
There you go. Just a minute.
Sorry for the delay. I couldn't find the mic. I'm optically incapacitated, you know. The best way, anyway, the only way I've ever been able to find the expertise in this organization is to go to conventions where I've been invited and mix among the people and find out what great people we've got out there. There's no reason for us to lack for leadership because we've got experts in everything. We all know what an expert is. An ex is a has-been, a spurt is a drip out of pressure, under pressure. But we do have good people, and you just find them. You run into somebody at a national convention, and you start, if they're young, you start mentoring them any way I do. I guess I'm like a Jewish parent or something. I don't know. But that's the only way I know of to do it. I'm sure there are other and better ways, but that's kind of how I do it.
All right, MJ. Thanks very much. Expertise within ACB, how should we tap into it better? Mitch, what do you think?
Well, a couple of things come to mind. First of all, I think we have in the past and to some extent now, I believe, encouraged our state affiliate presidents to pass along the names of persons in their organizations who have demonstrated on the local and state level expertise in particular areas. I think we need to encourage that. I think we should encourage that. I mentioned Sunday at our employment committee workshop that I'd like to fill one more position. Sorry, Chris, I didn't ask you about that, but I think we're down one spot. And I encouraged folks who have an interest in employment to come and see me, talk to me, and I'll talk to the president. Beyond that, I think we need to foster an attitude or a culture here where folks who want to participate can come to a board member or come to a committee chair and say, I'm really interested in something, and have some dialogue, discussion, find out what the areas of interest are, and you know, get people involved who have an interest. Thank you.
Thank you, Mitch. Before we go on and take the next candidate, I want to say that I've been told that someone's passing out some campaign literature here during this meeting. I'm going to ask we not do that now. I told them they're almost done, they said, so they can finish. But if anybody else has any campaign literature they want to pass out, pass it out when you're done. You can catch everybody as they're leaving the room. We can't have any sort of distractions. We just don't want to do that. Okay, let's move forward. And Chris, what do you think about this question?
I don't have a great deal to add after Mitch and MJ. I will say, and maybe this is a good perspective to give, MJ really hit the nail on the head. I cannot believe, as I travel from one state affiliate to another, when they invite me to come and address them, do workshops with them, and so on, I cannot believe the amount of capability we have in the members of ACB. I've always believed and preached about ACB being a grassroots organization, about how important it is for the leadership to come up from the grassroots through the affiliate to the national organization. And I am not worried one little bit about that happening because of the incredible raw talent we have out there in all the affiliates. It's just amazing. I hope that in trying to tap into that and use it, that we can use our online communication vehicles to identify more and more good, solid people. Much of it is done by people coming and volunteering and saying, I want to do this job. It's better when you tell a president the job you want to do
15 seconds.
Then have it assigned. For one thing, presidents don't always know what you're good at, and if they assign you the wrong thing, maybe you won't be as good as if they assign you the right thing. So bear that in mind. Bear in mind various ways that you out there can share your expertise so we know who you are and know what you can
Time.
Do. Thank you.
Thanks, Chris. Mike, what do you think about the tapping into the resources that we have within ACB?
Well, like Chris said, there is a great deal of expertise out there, and MJ. We need to tap into that. Traveling around, I hope to be able to extend a personal invitation for people to get involved. When we go out to the States and we meet people and we say, well, you're really good at that, you know, when they're not encouraged to come and get involved at the national level and be a part of it. And many times they're intimidated by the higher level and getting involved at the national level. I think some people may need a personal invitation. While I'm out traveling around the States visiting the affiliates, I'd like to offer that personal invitation to a person whom I see that may have that level of expertise and may need to be involved at the national level and not quite know it yet. So if we can go out and extend that invitation and get them involved, we'll bring more of that expertise to the next level where it belongs. I also believe that by doing that, people will be encouraged rather than basically intimidated by the national level. So I would like to see us be able to go out and offer that invitation.
All right. Artis?
Yes, I encourage mentoring at all levels. I think when we work one with another and try to encourage people that are getting involved, whether it be people that are just watching committee work. I really enjoy it when committees are in session and they have visitors. I think that's usually a tendency to think of those persons being interested in that particular area, and those are the first persons we can ask to see if they want to be more greatly involved. I also have noticed that on different listservs, if you ask a question, what does anybody know this? You tend to get lots of answers, and I think that's another way we can reach out and find the expertise we need in different areas. But I also agree that when we attend other affiliate meetings and we meet people one-on-one and ask them about themselves and what they're involved in and what they like and what they'd like to see differently, that's a good way for us to find people we can mentor or find people that can mentor us in the areas we're not familiar with. And I think we need to do more communication back and forth with individual members and with affiliates.
All right, Artis, thanks. Donna, would you like to tackle this?
Well, all of the answers that I've heard thus far have been great,
And I would like to give you an example of someone who has come to the bat, so to speak. We were having a conference call, and Chris mentioned that we needed somebody to head up the diabetic committee, and I suggested that maybe Dee Clayton from Iowa would be interested in doing that, and the result of that is ACB's newest affiliate, ACB Diabetics in Action. So that's an example of someone who was very much interested in that topic, and she took it and ran with it, and now we have a new affiliate, and I think that's great. Thank you.
All right, Donna, thanks. My memory serves. Mitch, are you the only one that didn't answer?
No, I answered that question.
Okay, everybody did.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's that memory. All right. Here's what we're going to do. I have another question from the BOP, and then I'm going to call on our friends on the Internet if you want to ask a question of the candidates. I forgot. Well, you know we'll get the email address from Dave in a minute, if you already don't know it. I'll get over there and get it from him. And I'll ask this question, and then also we'll be taking questions from the audience.
Convention
here. So audience
at acbradio.org.
Convention at acbradio.org. And here's the question for everybody to answer. What steps should be taken to stabilize ACB's financial health? And we'll start with Mitch.
You have to start twice. Okay.
See, I forgot how fast, that long ago, you started the other one.
I believe we're beginning to take those steps. I mean, the thrift stores clearly can no longer be counted on to provide 80% of our revenue. President Gray and the board have undertaken some initiatives in the last couple of years, vehicle donation, the direct mail program. Some of those activities are bearing fruit. Some are yet to do so. But, you know, I am a big believer, and I've said this at all of the caucuses, I am a strong believer that we need to help ourselves as well. And one of the things that I will commit to is to reactivate the monthly monetary support program. I think we can certainly give our time and our talents to this organization, but we should also give some of our shekels, too. People spend hundreds of dollars at the exhibit hall every year. Hey, all we are asking is $5 or $10 a month. If 5,000 members did that, well, I don't have a calculator, but it would really begin to help.
15 seconds.
My ultimate goal is to see a director of development here to work on corporate grants, private foundation grants. I think if we take all of those initiatives, we can have within 2 years not a $1 million budget as we have now, but a $2 million budget.
Time.
Thanks.
All right, Mitch, thanks. Mr. Dave Williams already took care of it. He announced over the Internet to everybody but us what that is. So those people listening know what it is. So we'll just continue on here with the questions. And let's see. How about artists? Artists, what steps can we take to stabilize things here in the financial health of ACB?
I agree with Mitch about the development director. That's one thing I think we need badly, someone to focus all their time on fundraising. I also agree about the MMS program, but I would take that a step farther. I think we really need to encourage our affiliates more to push this program. We can push it here at convention, and occasionally when we're asked to go to an affiliate, we can push it at their convention. But I think it would help us greatly if we would really communicate to all the presidents to, on an ongoing basis, mention it in their newsletters, mention it in there if they have a 800 call-in number or any of their communication methods, if they mention the MMS program. And that way we can get more and more people signed up to that, because that is one of the best ways for us to remain stable. Also, I think we need to continue to diversify more. The car program is doing good, but obviously we have, most of our states have their own automobile car program, and so consequently the national organization cannot count on that program as much. So we need to look at other ways to diversify.
15 seconds.
And grants, of course, is one of the best ways. I know other organizations raise lots of money through grants, so we need to work harder at that.
Thank you, Artis. Chris, we'll give it to you next.
One of my favorite topics. Thank you, Jay. Mitch didn't have a calculator in front of him, but I do. And I want to tell you something, and it's a very, very important thing. I'll back it up with a few other comments, but you know what? If 20,000 members of ACB gave $10 a month, that would be $2,400,000 a year, double ACB's current budget. That means that if 10,000 members did the same thing, we would still have our annual budget double. The MMS program is important. What we have to do, my friends, is think about this in real terms. We have to set goals, and it doesn't matter if the goals are absolutely exactly attained. It's the goal that guides you toward what you want to accomplish. So I have some goals. Goal number one, we need to open a minimum of 3 new thrift stores, and I would hope 5 in the next 2 years. The thrift stores can bring good money.
15 seconds.
And the other goal is to double the MMS program from today. And doggone it, I had one more, and I can't think of it now. That calculation kind of took my mind off it. Anyway, thank you very much.
You'll probably have an opportunity to tuck that in somewhere. All right, let's move on and try MJ Schmidt. MJ, it was so long ago. Do you want me to repeat the question?
No.
That's good, because I forgot it. So that's all right.
I think we need to strengthen the M&M's program. When we first started it, I had a problem with it, partially because NFB had done it, and I know how wildly they promoted it in the states, like if so-and-so gives just blah, 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 we'll beat some other state. And I just had visions of that, and when I heard it wasn't going to be that way, I signed up, and when I moved from Illinois to Rochester, I doubled what I'd signed up for, and I think it can be a good thing. If the law permits me, I'm going to run another raffle. That was a fun thing. I think people looked for the winners every night, and that's just a little bit of money, but I mean the M&M's thing could bring us out of the dark ages forever.
All right, thanks. Mike, what do you think about this one?
I'd like to ditto much of the other stuff others have said as far as diversifying and getting out there and expanding the M&M program. However, being the new kid on the block and a little wet behind the ears, I believe that we can expand the M&M program to exceed ACB members. I believe that we can get out, train our members to go out in front of the corporate world and ask the corporate employees to begin to participate in the M&M program and donate $1 a month. And if we can get 2 or 3 million people to donate $1 a month, we'll be much further ahead of the game than we ever have been before.
Miss Donna?
Well, I believe very strongly in the monthly monetary support program, and I was just sitting here thinking, well, why couldn't a local affiliate or even a state affiliate sign up for the program, as well as the individuals in the affiliates and chapters across the country? It doesn't hurt. It really doesn't. And it is, we know that it's guaranteed money coming into the organization and helping to do the things that we need to do. we can publish our Braille Forum every month without having to worry about cutting it back because we don't have the funds to do that. And the Braille Forum is our vehicle to the world, to our members across the country and even around the world. And we need to keep that going. We need to have it every month because people count on getting their Braille Forum and reading it. I think also that the vehicle donation program is good for ACB.
15 seconds.
And it should continue because every month maybe we don't get money, but when we do, it's a sizable check. Thank you.
All right, Donna, thanks very much. Well, I've opened up the floor earlier to to people in the audience to ask questions, and I don't see anybody standing up. If you have a question, you come out to the end of the row and stand there. We'll keep track of where you are, and so we know where you are. Stay where you are, and we'll keep track of who got up first and second and third. Okay, we do have a question from the audience here. What is your name?
T.A. Hall.
T.A. Hall, and what is your question, Mr. Hall?
Questions, no comments, correct?
No comments. This is a question. Yes. This is a candidates forum for questions.
Well, I have three, but I'm going to narrow it down to what I feel is one of the most principal. What plan, and this is for all the candidates, so whosoever chooses to answer, what plan do you propose and or existing process would you push to include new for-profit and not-for-profit business entities who show commitment and or have a track record for employment achievement among unemployed populations? And that's because our visually impaired unemployment is so high at 70%.
Do you want them to repeat that question? Candidates, are you okay with it?
Yes.
Okay. All right, if candidates are okay with it, then. Chris, would you like to start with this?
Not especially.
I'm sorry, I shouldn't have asked him. Chris,
I think that
I'm going to call on Chris Gray.
I would say this, that there's a couple different problems we have with regard to employing blind people today. One of them is among many blind people I talk to, I do not sense a significant amount of confidence, and I do not sense a tremendous need to pursue certain kinds of working activities. We need to help people understand that they can be confident that blind people can be successful in the employment market. There's a big market out there, and we've got to find ways of getting jobs in that market. With regard to new kinds of companies, more, I think we need to look at new kinds of technologies. The nature of work has only changed in the sense that there is less manufacturing work to do in this country. There is more skilled labor jobs that we need. We've got to make sure that blind people have the right skills. It doesn't really matter what company they apply the skills in. They've got to be able, you know, whether you're using a call center, you've got to have technology to make it work. You have to have access
seconds.
To the information to make it work. I don't personally have a focus on particular companies or even particular kinds of business that are different than what is out there for the average sighted employee. I hope that helps.
All right, let's see. Mitch?
Okay. One of the members of our employment committee would be jumping up and down and cheering for that question. One of the goals of the employment committee, and it's one that we really haven't been involved with too much in the last couple of 3 years, but one that we need to work on is promoting employment. And And we have talked about, and perhaps you will want to assist us in this effort, but going to the not-for-profit organizations and the for-profit businesses that do support ACB, for example, our exhibitors, and speak to them about internships. A couple of our organizations that we work closely with, such as NIB, certainly does that already. But we probably work with 30 or 40 organizations that do employ folks, and we certainly can approach them about internships, preferably paid, but you know, not necessarily, because one of the goals of an internship is to provide work experience. So, you know, perhaps that's an initiative that we need to get more involved in. It's certainly one we've talked about.
All right, Mitch. MJ?
I can basically echo what people have said here. This is a whole nother side to the question. And as a member of the Employment Task Force, I can tell you we're willing to help in any way that we can to help people get jobs. I personally have been disappointed at the scant amount of people who has, because we've disseminated some really good information to people. I mean, this is not a direct answer to your question. I don't really know, short of approaching companies we know. When I worked at Sears, I talked up blind people, and when I left, there were two other programmers there. So I kind of felt maybe I'd done something right. But other than that, other than what you can do personally, I have no answer for that question.
Hey, thanks, MJ. Artis, would you like to tackle this one?
Yes. I think what we could do on a large scale is pass out educational material to companies, both nonprofit and businesses, about the capabilities of blind people. Also, give out information about how people need accommodations and to show them that it's not always expensive. A lot of times, a blind person, if they have some of their own software, they could use it, especially at first, until a company feels that this person can be a good employee, and then ask the company to give them software that would help them work the position. I think we need to show companies that it's not that hard to accommodate blind persons. I think they have an illusion that it's going to cost them, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars, whereas in a lot of positions they could get by with $1,000 for computer software. And I think if we can promote it, the accommodation level, we can promote how much expertise many blind people have, and like a couple of the other people said, encourage internships, both unpaid and paid. These are some of the ways that we can really make some inroads into companies. Thank you.
All right, thanks, Artis. Donna, what do you think about this question?
Well, I'm going to take a different approach. Many of our members and other blind people out there are on Social Security disability, and it is a disincentive as far as getting a job, because most of them would say, well, if I get a job, I'm going to lose my SSDI and I'm going to lose my Medicare. Or maybe they have a job and they are paid just below the maximum that they can earn, so they can keep their Social Security and still have their earnings, even though their potential is much higher and they could advance in the employment world, but they're afraid to do that for fear of losing their Medicare and their SSDI. I think we need to maybe go back to the drawing board and work again on legislation so that SSDI is no longer a disincentive.
Seconds.
And I agree with the rest of the group here on their responses.
Okay, thanks, Donna. And finally, Mike Godino for this question. Mike?
Okay. During the course of the week, we've heard a lot about RSA and a lot about the WIA program that's coming in and WIA 2. It seems as though more and more of the benefits are being cut out and the incentives are being cut out, and people with disabilities are not being asked to go to work. They're being asked to go to these centers where they're going to be put to work in the first job that comes their way. People who are blind need to continue to advocate for categorical services and get the training they need, build the confidence they need to get out there and seek a job at a level that they can prepare to live at. Many times, even with Donna's plan, the program will not provide the funds people with disabilities, mainly blind, need to live in the areas they need to live. We need to live in cities where there is transportation. We need to live in areas that we can walk to the store. We can't live somewhere out in the woods that is going to cost us minimal to live and maintain ourselves so that we can jump in our automobile and drive to the store. We need to live in some of these what are quote-unquote high-dollar places so that we can get the services we need in our own environment. We need to be able to afford that. So we need to get the confidence and the training to get out there and seek the jobs at the levels we need to be at.
All right, Mike, thanks very much. I think that covers everybody, right, for that question? I'm over here now with Debbie Cook from ACB Radio. And, Debbie, you have a question from the Internet?
Actually, I have a stack of them.
Okay, well, let's
do that all night, but let's start with this one. Jeff Shang asks what the candidates to tell us what their vision is for the development and continuation of ACB's online resources and services. That seems like a really fitting question to come from the Internet audience.
Do you have that, gang? Okay. Let's go first to Mitch Pomerantz. I'm sorry, Mitch. I keep forgetting you. Okay, Mitch, you're on.
Well, you know, my wife accuses me of being a dinosaur because technology is not my fort. I am perhaps Chris's polar opposite, but obviously we need to devote as many resources as we can to ACB Radio. We talk about not being reactive but being proactive. ACB Radio, we got the jump on the other guy. We put ACB Radio on the air, and they're still not there yet. We need to promote ACB Radio. I know Chris has talked about bringing it, that it's brought in new members. I really believe that it has been a wonderful, wonderful venue to promote what the American Council of the Blind stands for. You know, perhaps we can look down the road to ACB Radio in Spanish. Perhaps we can talk about, and I keep hearing the discussion, and maybe I'm behind the times, but the Internet radio, we keep talking about the Internet
seconds.
Radio that doesn't require having a computer so that we can bring it to more and more persons who don't have computers and probably won't have computers. Okay.
All right, thanks, Mitch. Now I'm going to call on Chris Gray. Chris, is there more than ACB Radio in this question? Is that what it was?
Yeah. It's ACB Radio, and it's also about computer technology. I think it's really both.
Mm-hmm.
I've been talking with people all week about ACB Radio's fifth stream, a multicultural diversity stream. And I've been trying to get someone to do that for 2 years, and I guess I have to just make a commitment here tonight. I don't know how we're going to get it done exactly because we haven't found the right person to do it, but we just have to make a commitment to get that person on board and get it going by the end of 2005. What do you think? Mm-hmm. The next thing we need to do is work on using the computer infrastructure that ACB has to do more of the work that needs to be done. I talked with ACB presidents today about implementing
more things related to databases, related to how we collect information. Our membership lists on the state and national level ought to be managed on one computer. It doesn't make sense for you guys out there to manage one set of lists and for ACB to manage another. It's all the same list, it's all the same people, but we've got this big disconnect between the states and the nation.
15 seconds.
We're already working on grants and have some grants to purchase additional safeguards, good computer systems, work on our network, and I'm looking forward to all the things that we can do
time.
In the next 2 years. Thank you.
All right, Artis, you want to talk about this?
Yes.
Remember, you don't have to. I just want to make sure.
Well, I'm a big researcher. I go on the Internet all the time, and I think we really need to keep I know Erlene does a wonderful job of keeping up with the ACB.org, but I think we need to continue to add more and more resources to it. It's often difficult for people to go on lots and lots of other websites because you can do a search and zillions of them come up, and then you find so many that are not very well, are very easy to use, they're not as accessible. And it would be kind of nice if we could, if we found websites that were particularly useful for blind persons with a lot of different resources that blind persons could especially use, if we could maybe link those to our ACB.org website. And I agree that the ACB radio is a market that we should continue to put more and more programming on, because obviously between the Internet radio and Internet website, you know, those are two magnificent ways to get a lot of new members, because a lot of people can't afford to come to convention, but they have a computer, they can access the Internet, and they can access Internet radio even without a computer. So if we can continue to work on those and increase more materials, that would be wonderful. Thank you.
All right, thanks. And Donna?
I'll pass.
All right. MJ?
I don't really have much to say about this. I should have probably passed, too. But I think we must be careful while we're moving ahead with computer people not to alienate non-computer people. And it is happening. And we need to face it. And that's all I got to say about that.
All right, thanks, MJ. And I think finally, Mike.
Okay, I'll be short. I would like to see ACB devote as much of its resources as possible into the Internet and creating greater access for people who are on the Internet. The Internet is a key for ACB to access the rest of the world, and we need to take advantage of that, especially the youth. It is a means to bring in all the youth because, as we all know, the youth live on the Internet. So we need to get out there and be out there and stay out there. Thank you.
All right, thanks, Mike. And now we're back in the audience again for a question. And who are you?
Carl Jarvis, Washington State. Thank you, Washington. We are, in order to be an effective organization, we need to be visible. And we're a small organization in the scheme of things. And I'd like to hear from each of you how you would go about gaining more public visibility for this organization.
All right. I'm just going to ask MJ how she thinks we can gain more public visibility for ACB.
Well, I think one way to do this is to find a real star out there in the blindness world and see if we can't talk that person into being a spokesperson and a public relation tool for ACB. Now, I know that isn't as easy as it sounds, but we've never tried to do that, I don't think. And maybe we have, I don't know. But that's about the only way I can think of doing it. Certainly, if we could get some TV time to show people on the computers. I've had so many people say to me this week, "Oh, I'm so glad I came. The store managers were here, and at that meeting, they said, we had no idea the kind of things you people were doing and the different kind of jobs you had. And
And, you know, now we just have to make more money for ACB. And I do think that having them come here was a really good public relations move. But I still think if we could find a blind star to be our spokesperson, it would help.
Interesting. All right. Mike Cadino, what do you think about this, getting a more of a public image and so on for ACB?
I believe the administration of ACB right now is doing a great job at getting our name out there. This week, I did see the American Council of the Blind announced on the news because of the POCA program, tournament that went on. I think that was a great job. We're getting out there. We're beginning to do more and more outreach, giving the awards, offering the awards up to people within the media to get them to recognize us, to include us, is one way of doing it. So we need to do more of that. We need to continue to do the outreach, continue to bring in the stars, the producers, let them know what our needs are and how we believe we can work with them to make their product more available to us. And in doing that, I believe they will offer us the time we need to get into the mainstream market so that people will begin to see us more and more in that market. But I think that's an effort that should continue, and I believe that it will eventually begin to grow more and more as time goes on.
All right, Mike, thanks. Donna, getting ACB some more visibility in the community.
In the past, we have done several PSAs. Willard Scott, for example, did some, and they were sent out to the different affiliates. We really need to work when we get these PSAs to get them to every radio station in your area so that you can turn on your radio and every station that you listen to hear a PSA about ACB. I'm sure that if we get information out there to all the radio stations, that sooner or later, everybody's going to know us. Do you know that every time you go out and speak to anyone, be proud of ACB and tell them who you are and the organization you belong to. And I think we need to get the word out that way as well as on the PSAs.
All right, thanks. I want to say that we have, before we go on and take artists, I guess, next, we have four people from the studio, our audience here tonight, and a ton of questions from the Internet. So we can't take any more questions. We'll try to get one Internet question in at least. And we have four people waiting for questions here. So right now then, artists, would you like to tackle this one, though, about public visibility for ACB?
Yes, I do think we are doing a better and better job about promoting our convention and trying to add activities that will spur the radio and television companies to come and come to our national convention. However, I don't think very many state affiliates work very hard at getting their convention activities into the media. And I think perhaps when we have state conventions, we need to really look at our program and maybe find program items that might be of real interest to media. I mean, obviously, we want to have things that are of interest to our members, too. But most things that would be of interest to the media would also be of interest to members. And if we can do things that might bring the media in, that'll also bring us membership growth. Because people outside, oh, hey, I never heard of you before. This is a great convention. And I know we hear that at the state level as well. And we just need to really promote more and more media events.
All right. Thanks, Artis. I believe, if my memory serves me correctly, that we've now asked all the candidates that question.
Nope.
Nope.
We didn't?
Nope.
Didn't ask me yet. Well, see, that's my memory again. Now here is Mr. President.
That's all right, Jay. We all get tired at the end of the week. When I became president of ACB, I looked around and found the best media relations journalist-type person that I could identify in this organization, Ralph Sanders, to be chair of the ACB Public Relations Committee. I told you the other night about the successes of that committee, and it's through public relations that we're going to have the biggest impact in making ourselves more well-known. Our direct mail program is going to
not only make us more well-known to the tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of recipients, but it will also give a message, a positive message, about what blind people can do and are doing. And those messages, those stories, are going to come directly from the membership of the American Council of the Blind. Third, just today, we had what is a singular media success and a singular wonderful opportunity for ACB with this poker tournament. It says a lot to the community about blind people.
15 seconds.
It has so much newsworthiness in it, I can't tell you. I've been approached by someone who wants to be chair of this project, and I forgot that I shouldn't make any appointments until after the elections. I said, you know, you're hired. Get going. And if you elect me, he will get going, and we'll capitalize on that as well. Thank you.
All right, Chris, thanks very much. We have a couple more questions that I mentioned.
Jay, you've put me on first two or three times, and now you want to forget me.
Ladies and gentlemen, here's Mitch Palmer.
Well, the nice thing about going last is you could say ditto if you wanted to, but I'm not going to do that.
Darn.
I agree. We have responded. Our public relations committee, we have responded to news stories. We did an outstanding job, I think, in bringing to the media's attention the Zepeda situation in California, where Protective Services tried to take a couple's baby away. We can respond to those kinds of stories. We can continue to deal with getting our public service announcements on the air. But much of this really is, again, a local issue. The face of public relations has changed over the past 5, 10, 15 years. And so what we really need to do is call upon you to promote the American Council of the Blind at the same time you are promoting your state and local affiliates. In California, we have just completed a video that we are going to be taking around
seconds.
To service organizations, and we are establishing a speakers bureau to help with that video and carry the message of our state affiliate and the American Council of the Blind as well.
Now you're
Thanks, right. Mitch. Now, audience, is that everybody?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Don't forget the time change.
All right. Now, in the interest of time here tonight, we do have these people, as I mentioned, have questions to ask. I'm going to say that we're going to take one-minute answers, and Mike's going to give you a 15-second warning. So who do we have here next?
This is John Gormley from Manhattan, Kansas. And my question to Chris and the rest of the candidates is, how is it that the ACB board did not have an assistant treasurer / financial officer in place backing up Jim Olson before we started the 2005 budget?
All right. That's the question.
Okay.
Chris, I'll let you take that one first.
All right. I think it's fair to say that hindsight being 2020, it would have been very nice if we had more accounting muscle in the Minneapolis office before 2005. And in fact, Jim Olson came to me in late 2004 and said, you know, the time has come when we need to work on getting me an assistant. And we did do that work. I went to the budget committee first. I went to many members of the board.
15 seconds.
Asked them and said, we've got to have an assistant for Jim. And we did get it in the 2005 budget. I wish we'd done it earlier. We should have, but at least we budgeted for it this year and are in a position to begin working on that for the membership of ACB.
All right. Mike, do you want to take? You don't have to answer these questions, by the way, member. Mike, would you want to take this?
I'm not on the board at this present time, and I prefer not to answer. Thank you.
All right, Artis.
Well, actually, Chris answered it correctly. Now, I do know that several of us on the budget committee had urged Jim in the past, last year, to hire an assistant. And I do know that at the beginning of the year, he wanted to put it off a little while because he wanted to save our budget. And obviously, we should have pushed him a little harder at that. But we usually like to, you know, listen to his financial advice. And unfortunately, we, you know, should have pushed for it a little bit harder. But now I think we're going to be on the right track once we get our new financial person, and hopefully that will ease our current situation.
Donna?
I'll pass.
MJ?
I'm going to pass, too.
Did I hear her say she's going to pass?
Yes.
Okay. Mitch?
I think in the interest of time, Chris and Artis really, I think, have covered the subject.
They really did.
All right, thanks very much. As I said, remember, you don't have to answer the question. It's just we're giving everybody the option. Who do we have here next?
Bob Lucas, New Jersey.
Okay, Bob, what's your question?
The question is this. I appreciated Mr. Hall's question about employment, and one of the things that occurred to me is that there's a follow-up question to that. In order to gain employment, you need to bring skills that people will hire you for, and that involves education. And what I'm curious is to know, I understand that a lot of the state commissions for the blind and so forth, they do work with schools that are local, but I'm wondering what this board, what their thoughts are on promoting educational opportunities through scholarships and grants and so forth to make sure that people in the blind community do have skills they can bring to the table so that they can get those jobs that perhaps they hadn't been getting in the past.
All right, good question. Let's see here. We'll try. Artis, why don't you take that first?
Okay. I do think ACB offers many, many good scholarships, and so do many other organizations. And actually, I don't think getting the scholarships and getting the education is as much of the issue as having the people ready for employment. I've talked to a lot of blind students that have been able to get the education, but sometimes they don't have the, what's the right term? They don't have the daily living skills to make them attractive to employers. So even though they've got the education, if an employer looks at them as not being as able to communicate, as able to work with others, etc., they're not still not going to be hired, even if they have the degree. So I think we need to look at two levels, making sure they get the education, but then also making sure they have the living skills. Thank you.
All right. MJ, would you like to tackle this one?
Yeah, I think at the root of this problem is self-confidence, because young people do not seem to be having difficulty getting education today, unlike those of us a few years ago. And that's great. I'm really happy about that. But unless you can walk in there with confidence in yourself, a good handshake, and you make a good appearance, you're not going to get that job. And don't think they don't make their mind up about you in 25 seconds when you're in there, because they do.
All right. Mitch?
Well, I think that we do a great job in getting scholarship monies. That's one of the easiest things to get money for. I think one of the things we might do, and again, it's kind of a local deal, is to partner with the associations of post-secondary educators, because from talking to my wife, who works at a community college, blind and visually impaired kids come into school. They don't know anything about technology. They don't know how to function independently. They've been taken care of on the in the secondary, primary, and secondary school level. They're really basically out on their own
seconds.
For the first time. So I think in consort with our state affiliates, our local affiliates, we need to have better relations with educational institutions and educators to try and get those skills down to the community college and the four-year college
time.
Level.
All right, Mitch, thanks. Mike Codino, do you want to take this?
Sure. I believe that we should do the outreach, but not at a post-secondary level. We should begin the outreach at the high school level, at the junior high school level. These kids need to be mentored and know that they're going to be required to go out and work at some point in their life. And they should know that we are there to support them. We are there to teach them. We need to be running mentoring programs, and the mentoring programs need to start at the state affiliates, but with the help of the national office to assist them in understanding what a mentoring program is supposed to provide them and how to do the outreach to the service provider agencies and get these children involved much younger and let them know and learn some of the skills through mentoring that they're going to need to carry them through the rest of their life.
All right, Mike, thanks. Donna.
Thank you. That we have a problem in that so many students now are mainstreamed, and a lot of them have never met another blind person. So when they are invited to an organization function or whatever, they turn it down or ignore it because they're either afraid to meet other blind people or just simply don't want to. And I think that's where our problem lies. We can't get these people to come to us and come to our conventions so that we can work with them and tell them that it's important
15 seconds.
To show up at work looking nice and having proper manners, etc. Thank you.
And finally, Mr. President.
Well, Mike and Donna may have made the key points in this round, because I think it's true, we do have to go down a lot lower in grades and really reach kids at a younger age. But looking at the rehabilitation system that begins thinking about kids at 14, 16, 18 years of age, what I fear, and something that I'm certainly going to watch for and want to let you know that I'm going to watch for, is that between a double whammy of order of selection and the potential that we're looking at in the decrease or the non-existence of categorical service, it won't be long before blind rehabilitation clients will not be allowed to be able to get the education they need. It's a very, very serious problem.
All right, thanks, Chris. Now, we're back to ACB Radio for this question from the Internet and Debbie Cook.
I'm going to combine the questions of both Ken Metz and Reagan Lynch so that I really get two questions in one. And they would like to know how ACB should develop leadership within NABS and what NABS, the National Association of Blind Students, role should be in the organization.
How should leadership be developed within NABS? MJ, would you like to start with that one?
You know, the Candidates Forum started because NABS wanted it. I guess maybe they didn't know what their special interest group was going to be and weren't familiar enough with their state affiliates, some of them. And that's really when we started the Candidates Forum. I've heard a lot about them feeling disconnected and all this stuff, but all they need to do, I think, is to go to the president or somebody in their state or a board member and let them know what they're really interested in. We certainly don't want people on committees where they're just going to be there. We want to get to their interest and their expertise.
15 seconds.
This goes back to the expertise question again. Most of the leadership of this organization is made up of NABS people. Chris and Brian and Kim, Bernice, Gene Lozano. I can't
Time.
Even think of all the people.
Okay, MJ, thanks. Mike Codino?
I was going to follow up on exactly where MJ was going. I've only been with the organization now going on 11 years, and I've heard the stories about some of the now leaders within ACB, and I've had the ability to bear witness to some of the up-and-coming leaders that I've met in the NAB's affiliate and see that the leadership potential is there. And that potential is being mentored and brought up into the organization. And I think that we need to continue to build that and make it stronger, because the leadership expertise comes in within NABs. Those are the kids that are getting the education they need and can put forth the leadership that we're going to need in the future, because they're very well aware of the now society that we live in.
Chris?
What we need to do is to say to NABs and to help NABs understand that they must empower themselves to be the future leaders of ACB. We cannot do it for them, but we can help with the empowering. When Brian and Kim and so many of us came to ACB and we got into NABs and we thought to ourselves, this is the way we can become a part of the American Council of the Blind. They said, Chris, we're going to run you for the board. Do you mind? I said no, and I became the youngest board member that ACB ever had, and got ACB in my blood. That we said to ourselves, all these candidates, all these people, we don't know them, we're young, we're new, what do we do?
15 seconds.
We created a candidates forum. Some say we created a monster now, but anyway. You know, that's what has to happen. NABS is there. It's a tool by which students can participate in every aspect of ACB. And I encourage
Time.
NABS to do it. Thank you.
Donna?
Well, I'd like to say ditto to all of that. Thank you.
That's what we like. All right, Artis?
I think what we need to do is encourage more special interest affiliates, especially those that have backgrounds in leadership, et cetera. We need to encourage them to become part of some of the NABS programming, maybe approach the NABS president and say, hey, we'd like to be part of your program next year. Maybe do a leadership development seminar in their program. Also, another thing I think we need to do is try to encourage state affiliates to talk to the NABS members that are in their affiliate and get them involved on a state level. Because obviously it's better to start local, start at the local chapter level and then in the state organization and then in international. And so
15 seconds.
Perhaps we should, each affiliate should contact the national office, find out who are NABS members and how they can get them involved locally. Thank you.
Okay, my memory again. Is that everybody?
Mitch is waiting patiently.
Here's what's his name.
You know, there are three, and we're no longer, we're volunteer trustees, I guess, on the NABS, or participate in NABS board meetings, myself and Artis and Mike Gravett. And we haven't been able to make all of the calls, but we have participated during the year, and we have, I think, tried very hard to mentor the students and assist them when they need assistance. I think that we also need to encourage NABS members to branch out, to get involved in other activities in the organization. And I think we need to encourage the state student affiliates to get involved in their organizations and in NABS and in ACB.
All right, thanks, Mitch. This candidates forum, ladies and gentlemen, is going to be as long as the next two questions take. Then we're going to wrap it up. So here is our next questioner from the audience. Who are you?
Hello, I'm Sandra Sermons from Washington, D.C., and my question is, I would like to know what each of you plans to do, if you're elected, to ensure that minorities are included on every level in all aspects of ACB. Thanks.
Thanks, Sandy. All right, that's the question. And let's see, we'll start with Artis for that one.
That's a good question for me. I'm currently the person that works with the multicultural committee, and I think it is a good idea to include as many minorities as we can in ACB. I know we've had a couple of activities like this week. We had a diversity session on Monday, and we also had a multicultural luncheon yesterday. Unfortunately, we didn't have a large attendance, and I think we need to promote those events more widely, perhaps put some articles in the forum before the convention saying that we do have these activities so that when people come to convention, they know those will be on the program and they can sign up for them. Sometimes we don't communicate enough some of the opportunities that people have to get involved, and I do think we need to encourage that more. Thank you.
All right, Artis, thanks very much. Chris?
One thing I think we might consider doing very soon is emulating what California does and having a Spanish-Washington connection. For quite some time, Marvelena did the California connection. She's already told me not to volunteer her to do the Washington connection. So I guess I can't do that. But we've got a lot of great ACB members who speak Spanish who might be able to do that. We've done a number of activities this week. To work on promoting diversity. I've already shared with you my goal of creating the diversity stream on ACB Radio. ACB has a long and very beautiful tradition in this area, and we need to focus on it, to work it, and continue to improve it. Thank you.
All right, thanks. Mitch?
Thank you. I think Chris and Artis began by talking about the things I would have talked about. So let me take it one step further, because I think those areas are well covered. But we talked also, and we had a very good discussion. My wife Donna and I hosted the reception Monday evening of developing materials specifically for the minority communities, bringing more minorities into ACB who might then become future leaders. For cultural reasons, for many reasons, while we have minority representation, I'm not sure we have minority representation in keeping with their numbers in the population. So I think we can start at a more basic level by doing outreach in the Latino community, the Asian community, the African American community, and other minorities to get them into ACB.
Thanks, Mitch. Mike Godino?
I'm a firm believer in the fact that this little blue marble we live on is growing smaller and smaller every day. In practicing what I preach, I'd like to respond to Sandy directly and say thank you for that question, only because in her inspiration and encouragement to me up in the corridor, not an hour before this candidates forum, I asked her when she was going to come into the board and make an attempt at getting onto the ACB board. I know she's very active in the DC chapter, and I'm encouraged by the work that she has done and the level of activity that she maintains. So I turned the encouragement back on her and asked her to become involved with ACB on a higher level, therefore bringing more diversity to the board in gender and in race. Thanks.
Thanks, Mike. Donna?
Well, I think one thing that would help is if we really make a concerted effort to ask minorities, ACB members, to sit on committees and become more involved in the workings of this organization. I believe that we could, you know, help them realize that they are part of the ACB family, and that we really want them here and to be with us. We have some fine people, and I know that they would be an asset to our committees and our organization.
I thank you. And finally, MJ.
I certainly echo everything everyone has said. Those of us who went to school for the blind had all kinds of diversity people, and they were just like our cousins or our brothers or our sisters, and we never thought of them any differently. Everybody should have the right and the opportunity to attain whatever they want in ACB. But for the question said something about assuring them, I can assure you that everybody in this room who's running for anything is going to do all they can to make it happen. And it has
15 seconds.
Happened before. Getting a Hispanic connection is an important thing. I think we'd be reaching out one more time.
Thank you, MJ, very much. Now, how's my memory? Everybody?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I'm lucky I did that right. Okay, the person that was waiting in the wings left the wings, so that person isn't here. So this means that's the end of our questions. We're ending pretty much close to time. I'd like to thank the studio audience this evening for being so attentive. Give yourselves a hand. That's fine. Remember, we do have elections tomorrow morning. I'd like to thank Mike, my good friend and timer, member of the BOP.
15 seconds.
And remember, when you come in tomorrow morning for the elections, make sure you're wearing your badge with the button on it, with the little round sticker there. Orange dot. Yeah, that's good. Thank you. And I want to thank Debbie Cook and our friends at ACB Radio. Good night, everybody.
And that concludes our coverage of the Candidates Forum for 2005. And certainly many, many, many issues explored there, Debbie.
Yeah, for sure.
And it was interesting when Jay decided that we were going to take questions from the internet. It was fairly quiet for a while, and then like waiting for a bus in the UK, you know, you wait an hour and then five
then
turn up
come.
At once.
Yes. Yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah, exactly. But we were able to get a couple of our questions answered.
Yeah, we did about half of them, and we thank you all for contributing and getting in there, and we're really grateful that we got an opportunity to share those as well as the other questions that came from the floor. And we tried to pick them in order of number of times they occurred in the questions and also how they fit in relation to the other questions that were being asked. So I think actually that more of you did get some of your questions answered, even though they weren't actually contributed in your name. So we hope we did okay for that. That was fun, and we'll try to do that as appropriate when we can in other parts of the convention as well.
Excellent stuff. Rick, you're not a member of ACB. Is this your first convention, and what did you make of that?
This is my first convention. I've been very pleased with it generally. There is no organization's convention at any time where you think everything is exactly right, but I think that overall this has been an excellent convention with a lot of good issues raised, and I suspect I'm going to end up being a member sooner rather than later.
Well, that's encouraging to hear, Debbie. Do you think Rick would say that by and large his impression has been quite positive? This clearly is a vibrant organization, a democratic organization. This evening, perfect example of that. And interesting that that straight away, with you've just been here for a couple of days, right, you feel that you want to sign up for this.
Yeah, I think I probably will. And I have been a member of the other organization. I've seen the way both organizations operate. They both have their pluses and their minuses. Actually, ACB Radio is one of the main reasons that I've really considered it even before becoming to the convention, because I like what ACB Radio does. I'm a part of it. ACB funds it, and frankly, I don't really think that being a leech is exactly in my repertoire.
Right, right. So, so Debbie, did anything stand out for you this evening in terms of the questions or the responses that, that we heard?
Well, yeah, I suppose yes. On a personal level, certainly some things did, but certainly organizationally, we had some fairly strong answers from many of the candidates. There were definitely some themes, questions that they responded to this evening, ranged in terms of those related to how do we help our members. Getting ahead in employment, how do you know various things for our members? How do we engage the expertise of our members? How do we do various things in relation to those things in terms of that internal thing? You know, what do we do for ourselves internally? There were also questions from the audience and from the questions that had been originally planned that dealt with the external. How do you go about raising additional funds for the organization? There was a lot of interest among the candidates about getting reenacting and refocusing on the kind of the monthly contribution plan kind of thing, where members and others, it was suggested corporately, etc., that people might become involved in that and try to do some additional kind of fundraising. There was an interesting mixed reaction to the question about interested in the questions about the online aspects of ACB, and we saw some of the divergence of the organization in respect to that, because we had some candidates who said, the online resources need to be developed to the max. It's the way we communicate with the world. We need to get everybody online. And then at the other end of the spectrum, we had some candidates who said, well, all that's very true, but we need to totally respect individuals who aren't online. We need to make everything available to them, including maybe, you know, creation of things like internet appliances for things like ACB radio, etc. So there was some real divergence in many of those responses.
And during the response from President Gray, we learned about the proposal for a fifth ACB radio stream.
And were you excited? Yeah.
Which would take to the air before the end of 2005.
Mm-hmm.
And this stream would concern itself with multi... this would be a multicultural stream. Right. What did you make of that, Debbie?
Well, this was new information, you know, for me, so I don't know. I guess I'm not sure what that would specifically do. Certainly, I think in respect to the streams that we do have, we've been, I think, really open to diverse format, both diverse format in terms of the content of the mainstream and the different kinds of interests that are represented, and diversity of the interactive stream in terms of the content that's represented over there. OTR, that's kind of hard to say, but diversity on the cafe for sure, you know. So three out of four of our streams already have, I think, tremendous potential to be as diverse as we want them to be, or as contributors want them to be. And it's such a struggle to recruit and support the different content. We've had bilingual streams of folks, for example, on Interactive, Edwin Koo, when he did his Chinese show. I would like to encourage that those kinds of things happen. I guess
And some of the European guys, Axel.
Axel, yes,
Scroll
absolutely.
From Germany. And,
right.
And there's never been anything stopping from doing that. We've always been in favor of it.
I'm not sure. I guess there needs to be lots more discussion, but it struck me as I'm not really sure if creating another stream to do that
or
is
the logistics
useful.
Of it.
Or the logistics,
be,
you know. I guess the
thing about a project like that is that it needs to be distinctive. It needs to be something new to warrant the investment to make that expansion. I guess the message I would give to people as director of ACB Radio is just watch this space.
Yeah, and we'll tell you as we do it. You know,
absolutely. And there's still Still a few months left in 2005, so
yeah. So yeah. We'll see how that goes. But definitely, I think the message that comes through that we do all support is that we do want to have as much diverse content and culturally diverse content within the scope of ACB Radio as possible. So whether that does involve, you know, other streams, or whether that does involve different content on the streams we do have, or additional content, or, you know, I certainly, as somebody who's been involved in ACB and involved in ACB Radio, I obviously support that notion just a whole lot, and I certainly think everyone does. So that piece of the intent, the logistics I'm not sure about, but the piece of the intent there, I sure am. Yeah.
We'd certainly welcome your suggestions and feedback and thoughts on any of that, and of course anything in relation to the ACB Radio mainstream coverage, and you can do that via email or MSN Instant Messenger. Do send your messages and thoughts to convention@acbradio.org. That's convention@acbradio.org. We do read every single message we receive. Obviously, we can't read every single message out on air. We'd be here forever. Mm-hmm. But we do try to make sure that we read every single message that you send in. So we certainly do appreciate your feedback. This is radio, really. Community radio. The mantra I use is ACB Radio connecting the blind community, mm-hmm. and I really believe in that, and that it's as much my project as it is yours. So do get involved, and let's hear from you. Mm-hmm. And, of course, that same address is the address you use for our convention contest. Mm-hmm. And just to remind people, the question, which state affiliate, in terms of its membership, is the largest state affiliate of the American Council of the Blind? And the prize for that is the Ray DVD with description, sponsored by the ACB store. Sorry, the contest is sponsored by the ACB store. I don't think the description is. that's right.
And, that'd be cool.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you would like to learn more about the ACB store and perhaps order a copy of the Ray DVD, if you don't think you're going to get lucky, although I would enter anyway, you've got a 1 in 50 chance of getting it right.
There you go.
Absolutely.
The state that is the right answer.
That's right.
Admitted to the union.
Yep.
After 1776.
Oh.
That may help someone.
That may help someone.
Okay.
Oh, dear. All right.
I've been awake too long.
He has been awake too long.
Yes.
You know, one of the things that I think that we had a lot of discussion up at the front of the discussions about whether there would be additional candidates, whether Mr. Lingard would declare at the forum, or whether, in fact, anyone else that we just hadn't had our nose to the ground about might declare. There were no additional candidates that declared themselves at the forum. So now it is highly unlikely that we will have additional candidates. And so what that means then, as we've noted already, is that all of the elections are unopposed, with the exception of the treasurer, which will be between Artis Bazin, the incumbent treasurer, and Michael Godina, who is running in opposition to Artis Bazin. And both of them, of course, spoke with us this evening as part of the candidates forum. But otherwise, I suspect the election process is going to go quite smoothly, and we'll deal with that, of course, particular contest. But the others will probably... I'll be very surprised now, which just doesn't make any sense. Of course, you know, I think things don't have to, I guess.
But do you think we can make any kind of prediction about the treasurer contest, or would that be unfair to do?
Well, see, we're in Vegas. We could do a wager.
That's right.
I suspect... That's an interesting thing.
How well known is Michael Godino in the entire ACB community? Obviously, Artis Bazin has been a member for a long time, especially in California.
Michael is known to the membership. Not maybe as well as some people, but he has been a member a long time. I believe he indicated to us that he's been a member for 11 years. That's about the amount of time I've been a member. So, you know, it's not so much numbers of years. He's been involved in a wide range of things. He's He's not highly visible, though, in some ways, and he was late for tonight. I wonder whether that will actually impact. He certainly didn't mean to be.
He was articulate, however.
Yes, yes, yes. He was very articulate and does a good job with that and has been very active on the campaign trail, was very visible in the caucuses, has very much made his intent clear and made it clear extremely early in the process. So we have known since... April, in a formal way, that Michael is running. So I think it's going to be a fairly tight race, actually. It's going to be very difficult to say. In general, the incumbent always has the up, unless the incumbent has somehow, failed. So there's that. I mean, there's this sort of political precedence. But I don't see any other... Otherwise, I think they're going to be... both very viable candidates in terms of their presentation.
You know, Debbie, you mentioned something, and I was wondering if it was actually possible. You said that, yeah. Getting back for just a second to Brian Lingard, you mentioned he hadn't declared tonight, but could he declare tonight since this isn't actually an official business
session? No, he couldn't declare, but he could have requested to be on the candidates' forum. So he could have, in the same way that Michael has not been nominated, because we've not taken nominations. So in that same way, he could, I believe, still have. And he could still be nominated tomorrow by someone. We could get up and they could call for president and they could say, Christopher Gray has been placed in nomination by the nomination. Are there any other nominations from the floor? And then somebody could pop right up and we could do it. But again, that doesn't seem likely, because he has not campaigned. He's not campaigned. Actually, most people know he's interested, so in a sense he's campaigned, but we've not heard from him on any position at all. He's not been in ACB leadership in the past, so I just don't think that's... that's the situation there.
Jeff Shang has an interesting question. Do we know who was handing out campaign literature and how much of a no-no that
was?
We were wondering, it's not supposed to happen.
Yeah, essentially handing it out in that context is not appropriate. I would assume that the only two people who would be suspect for that could be Artis and Michael, because they're the only ones who are concerned about it. And so I would assume it's one of them, and I was interested that they didn't hand any of it out to us up here. So you know what that's going
to
do.
I would have liked to have known, although I actually can't picture it being a long-term officer or a long-term member, because I think the long-term member would know the tradition of it not really being well looked upon.
Yeah, yeah. So that's a good point, and I was one that at the time... would have liked to have, and Dave was actually away from us at the moment, and then I forgot by the time he was with us again to see if he could nab a copy of what was getting distributed so we could tell you what it was.
Yeah, after they told him to stop.
Yeah, yeah.
Get a copy of it.
Now we want a copy.
We wanted the scoop, you see.
That's right. We were trying to get some scoop.
We were trying to figure out the internet questions and how we work that.
Yeah, so.
All that kind of thing.
But no. That's a very good question and was certainly of interest up here as well. Where's that? And the fact that it didn't make its way up here. Darn.
So, would have been interesting.
Yeah, but basically I certainly think this piece of things is going to go quite quickly. But we did have a nice turnout ultimately. Quite a few people here. So people do care about this, as we've noted in the past.
Mm-hmm. And it's actually quite impressive that so many turned out when there were so few contested offices.
Yeah, yeah.
And tomorrow, folks, as well as elections, we still have some amendments, I believe.
We have some amendments to look at, and we will definitely have most of the resolutions of the convention to deal with tomorrow.
So a busy day, really. Even if the elections do go fairly smoothly, we've still got quite a bit to get through. It's not over yet.
It's not over. In fact, the real business of the organization is really just beginning. Yes.
That's right, that's right.
There will be no tours, there will be no conflicts. This is the place to be tomorrow.
That's right, and ACB Radio Mainstream's coverage begins from 8 a.m. on the Pacific Coast. That's 11 Eastern, 15 Universal.
Yes.
And as well as providing coverage of the excuse me, as well as providing coverage of the morning session. We will, of course, be back on Friday afternoon, and we'll be here as long as they are.
That's right. And some years that's a long time, and some years it's not so bad. So
that's right. We'll just take it.
Seemed like they had a lot of leeway on the sessions this week, so I have a good, I have a feeling that it really isn't going to be long.
Yeah. Mm.
And then, of course, tomorrow evening, the banquet, which really is the climax of convention week. Mm-hmm. And the banquet's always very exciting, isn't it, Debbie? Everybody puts on their glad rags.
It is a very cool thing. Now, actually, Rick and I will not be able to be here for the banquet, so we're going to miss that this year. But basically, yes, it is quite a festive affair and quite a celebration. It's not a heavy time. It's not going to be a time of politics or heavy speeches or heavy... it's really a time of celebration of the organization, of celebrating our the end of our work together and looking forward to the future. And it is a very fun thing. And I unfortunately will have to leave right about that time, and won't be with you. But it is a marvelous thing, and I know that if we're able to cover the banquet adequately in here.
Oh, I think that's the plan. Yeah, it's not clear just where we're going to be situated yet, but it's my understanding that everything is in place.
Okay, good.
For an internet line to be put in the location of the banquet tomorrow.
Good, because I think it's a very enjoyable. A very enjoyable event.
I think originally we had,
at the airport.
Yeah, originally we had thought it was going to be in the exhibit space, although I believe that's changed.
Okay, now, so. Okay.
Actually, a question that I wonder if any of the three of us knows the answer to.
You must not.
Obviously.
One down, two to go.
Well, I heard someone talking about this the other day, and it makes sense because I gather from what we were talking about earlier, if I'm correct, that William Rowland of the World Blind Union was the scheduled speaker tomorrow night. I believe that's what the convention program said.
That's what it said, yeah.
And I gather that he is ill and will not be able to be here tomorrow night. Is that correct?
That is correct, as I understand it. The last news I had.
And I heard a couple of days ago, or actually I think it was Monday, someone was making the comment. I just kind of overheard this comment that we're going to have to decide who is going to speak. Does anyone know who will be, among us anyway, who will actually be, you might say, delivering the keynote?
I think it's going to be you, Rick.
From the airport.
That's the one.
If they don't like it, I'll just fly away.
That's it.
There you go.
That's the one.
I actually don't know. Everything you said up to that point, I could verify as being probably the case based on everything I heard. But then the part about the actual question is like, I actually don't know where we are on that. So I'm not sure.
And I'm actually surprised I haven't heard any or overheard any more about it.
Yeah, we'll try to find that out. That's a good
point. I would imagine there's probably a lot of vigorous organization going on behind the scenes.
And speech writing.
And speech writing and networking and perhaps a little couple of casino chips changing hands, maybe. Who knows?
There you go. Yes.
Well, we have just about come to the end of our broadcast here this evening. The time now is 4:25 Universal Time. That's 9:25 on Thursday evening here in Las Vegas. We've been on air for about 3 hours, I think, this evening. So we're going to wind things up in the next couple of minutes. And following this program, then you will have another opportunity to hear in its entirety the business from Thursday morning. The general session business, and people should stay tuned for that. There'll be a short pause where we reconfigure things once we disconnect, but then you will hear the business from Thursday. That's the 7th of July in its entirety. We'll probably get through that, I think, twice, actually. We should get through that almost twice. Yeah. Before we come back on air at 8 Pacific.
10 and a half hours.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah.
So if we could get that on almost straight away at 21:30, and I think we're all set to go.
Okay.
So thanks very much to Jeff Shang and and everyone looking after things at the server end. And thank you very much to you guys for supporting the live broadcast here. And
thanks to all of our listeners who checked in this evening. And I just want to give a special thanks to the Washington State affiliate, who is big online as well. They're not only big here in the convention, but we heard that they're organized up and listening online at home as well. So I think we've just really wired it this year.
Little bias at work.
That's right.
Yeah.
All right.
I don't know. Maybe we should have a little squeal button, and every time somebody mentions Washington, we can just hit that.
Save everybody their voice anyway.
That's pretty much it from us here this evening. I'm fading again pretty fast. I was full of beans 3 hours ago, and I'd gotten a little siesta this afternoon.
We all took a nap.
That's right. And
a little goes a short way at this point.
That's right. And I got something to eat, and you know, I came out of Katie's thinking I could take on the world. And 3 hours ago,
you did for a while.
I did. And of course, now slurring and gibbering like an idiot again.
Back to normal, folks. We're used
back to my normal self.
We'll see y'all in the morning.
You will indeed. Convention at acbradio.org. If you'd like to contact us on our final day of streaming from the Nevada, Riviera. Casino and hotel and casino in Las Vegas and Nevada. And it's amazing to say that tomorrow is the final day.
Really,
it, you know, it's incredible.
We've been here for 7 years.
I know.
Days.
Oh, was that it?
But we're in a daze.
Okay. Do you guys have plans this evening? Or?
We're gonna make some CDs we need to do for people. We've had a lot of requests for CD making. We're gonna have some dinner, and then if there's any night left, we're gonna just kind of hit the hay. Because, you know, 15 comes around so early.
It does. 15 Universal, 8 yeah, Pacific. Yeah. And, of course, we usually take about an hour to set up in the morning. Yeah, and so, obviously, if you want anything like breakfast.
If you'd like the view of the convention from underneath the sound table, I can do a lot of description of that tomorrow if things get slow.